Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer, Ass Clowns, across the fruited and netted plane, and also part to the select elect to whom I usually talk to at this time. This is the usual time, and as usual, I'm running late. About 15 minutes late, but then again, that is usual, or usual, as I go ahead and call it. Tonight's episode is episode number 28, Wiggers and Mamzers and Jews. Oh, my! Wiggers and Mamzers and Jews. Oh, my. And the time is July 25th, 2010. It's 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and, well, it's actually 10:16 Central Standard Time. And let me see. Let me go ahead and put my thing down, and I'll just go ahead and play the improved version of a Wigger problem that I've recently found, and I have to get up and stand while I'm usually doing the singing. Hold on, folks. Hold on. Didn't quite go right. Quite right. Hold on, folks. This is better than the, Admit we got a Wigger problem. Wigger's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating swap. I wake up and right away, stupid Wiggers come to mind. The way Wiggers run to and fro, stupid Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem, which is always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating swap. Wiggers keep remembering the way Zog used to be. But now Zog is a nightmare instead of a good memory. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy swap. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy swap. Well, got that done. Anyway, I'll go ahead and unplug the big speakers and clip off the power. That way I won't hear any hum. And now I guess I can go ahead and get back to the chat line. I have a little hard and fast rule concerning pisser possums. And the answer is the pisser possums are allowed on the chat, and pisser possums can have fun. You know, sort of like old Cyndi Lauper, the Jewess. What happens is that pisser possums just want to have fun. Pisser possums just want to have fun. That's all they really want is some fun. And when the work of day is done, just pisser possums just got to have fun. And I don't know anything about this. I'm sort of listening. I'm going ahead and listening, you know, so I can't hear. Anyway, I go ahead and look, and, you know, the thing about this show is that I have fun doing it. Now, you know, it's not for money. It's just a matter of love, and it doesn't, you know, I mean, we'll see how long this thing lasts here. It may be gone tomorrow. It talks to you. I went ahead and mentioned old Mike Delaney on ProStink, and, you know, in conjunction with Sword Mamzer, because I ended up having a fight with Sword Mamzer and a couple of Wiggers earlier this morning on this chat organized by this young man who got me on Jim Giles. And the problem with this guy is that, well, I mean, his little Skype cast are just a bunch of Wiggers with a few Mamzers and a few whatever tossed in. And I end up having a fight with this one Baptist hobbyist that I'd fought before over polygamy. And I ended up going ahead and getting what I want done. I smoked out this character I refer to as Sword Mamzer. And Sword Mamzer is essentially bad news. He hangs around Bill Fink and has a show. And there's been a Genesis 315 enmity between him and me since day one when first came to it. And lying little Mamzer went ahead and said, well, don't you know Felix Dzerzhinsky was a Jew? And the answer is, well, no, I didn't know Felix Dzerzhinsky was a Jew. And the reason I didn't know that is because he wasn't a Jew. Now, granted, he liked screwing Jew pussy, and he was Lenin's policeman, but he did go ahead and destroy the Bolshevik regime and did a very efficient job of it. And he calls himself Sword Brethren, and I've gone ahead and found out. And the one thing, you know, the one thing good about Wiggers is that they don't have anything good to say about each other or any other Mamzer. You know what I mean? And, yes, the show has started. It started 8 minutes ago, and I already got Wigger problem down. And, Frenchman, we're going to go ahead and play the whole thing, the introduction about the Missouri Civil War, around 11:30, midnight, my time. And then we'll go ahead and play Gorilla Girl again. And it's not about monkeys, it's about guerrilla warfare, it's practiced. And essentially what I end up having a fight with, this Wigger and Sword Mamzer, was over the nature of civil war and what I, as a commander of resistance troops, would do. Now, I believe that when it comes down to it, Robert E. Lee was a wonderful Christian gentleman, but he was a loser. And the fact of the matter is, if you can go ahead and fight like Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis insisted upon, of course you're going to lose against an enemy, like under dishonest Abe Lincoln, that didn't obey the rules of land warfare. So as a result, if you go ahead and fight, quote, fairly, you're going to lose. And you can't afford to, quote, fight fairly when you are the one who are down and you are the one who are under attack and you are the one who is about to be exterminated. Because if you fight fairly, you're going to die. And it would have been far better for Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis if they were going to insist upon fighting fairly and under the rules of Christian warfare as they looked at them. It would have been far better if they just simply let the North have their niggers and ship all them damn niggers up north and then let the North take care of all them damn niggers. See how much the North likes free niggers. And I hear lies from Wiggers about how the Civil War was about slavery. It was all about slavery. And in any case, it wasn't. I need to go ahead and post, for all these liars who go ahead and talk about slavery, I need to post the preamble to the 1820 Missouri Constitution. And for those who think it's about slavery, let me just point out that there was a $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail, and jails back then were pretty grim. 6 months in jail if you in any way encouraged a free nigger to move to Missouri. They did not like free niggers as they looked at it. A nigger was a dangerous animal, a beast, a burden, and worse than jackass. Because jackass are usually somewhat behaved themselves, couldn't get in too much mischief. But niggers, oh, shoot. We had niggers running wild, like Judas Child, the Roy Rage Retards have. And they did not want any free niggers in Missouri. Now, from what I gather, they had similar laws in Iowa and similar laws in dishonest Abe Lincoln's Illinois. Nobody wanted these free niggers. Okay, Harriet, when you go ahead and do this Underground Railroad shit, send them on to Canada. Let the Tories have them niggers. They like them so damn much. You know what I mean? And that's the only way to go ahead and deal with niggers, is you go ahead and give them all the niggers that they want. And the answer is they don't want very many. But in any case, getting on a tangent, old Sword Mamser screaming at me, demanding that the guy who hosted the call says to me, said I was a maniac and the rest. I was a child molester and all this other good, happy horseshit. Essentially, that is pretty well what I want him to go ahead and say, because there had been a Genesis 3:15 enmity between us since day one. He went ahead and told a number of lies. And generally, all these people had no idea what a Phineas priest was. He killed race mixers. I said, excuse me, who was the Midianites? And all three, we'll call the Wigger from Austin, Texas. We'll call him, I think I'll call him Baptist Hobbyist, because that's exactly what he is. And you ended up having the guy who went ahead, and we'll just call him, Party B and Sword Mamser. And essentially, Sword Mamser pulled the Mike Delaney and screamed and hollered about Turge and how he got sick about watching Turge and how I end up paying five-year-olds to shit a turd and all this sort of shit. He pulled the Mike Delaney on me. And at this time, they had some little character you couldn't really trust recording the thing. And I said, look, discontinue the call and then bring it back. We'll go ahead and settle it. And essentially, I told Sword Mamser is that it don't really matter to me who he says he is. I tried to find out who he is. And he was playing this little game of, I can beat you up, I can beat you up, I can beat you up. And the answer of it is, there's a 23 or 24 little Anglo Mestizo, a little German, Italian, Wapspick, whatever, probably can beat up an old fat 52-year-old man here. Chances are, and he's not going to go ahead and get within an arm's length here, because I'd probably pull him apart with my shoulders. I got massive shoulders because I have bad legs, okay? And the thing about it is that here they were, and old Sword Mamser was threatening to go ahead and call a nut house on me and have me set up. Look, you boy. The thing about it is that you say something like that, I know you wouldn't do it, because if you are like a suspected Jew with that power, you would have called them up. But the thing about it is that I am open in my hatred of Zog. I go ahead and tell Zog that I hate them, and I'd pretty well torture them, rape their wives and daughters, do whatever the hell I want to. Now, generally, rape really isn't something of mine, but I went ahead and, you know, there was this guy I was stumbling named Mandalore, and about a year and a half ago, he said, well, if I become a Christian identity warlord, can I rape Jews as bloody? And I said, sure you can. But afterwards, you got to go ahead and knock them out, you know, knock them in the head, and make sure you don't go ahead and breed any little kike bastards here, even if it's an estrakikus. And he went away happy. And the fact of the matter is that I would have, you know, somebody like Sergeant, I'd call them Sergeant Major Mandalore, and I need to write a little sort of thing like, we're in the Florian Geyer SS Division, Einsatzgruppe here, and I'm the equivalent of Lieutenant Colonel Martin, you know, Martin Mad Pomeranian Lindstedt here, because there were some Lindstedts who stayed behind after the 30 Years' War in what was called Swedish Pomerania, and then after the Swedes sort of lost it in the 1700s, it started being called just Pomerania. So there are some Lindstedts who live in Germany. There's a Martin Lindstedt who's about 10, 12 years younger than me, who I call, straighten them out. The thing about it is if someone says shit about me, if they want to come to my house and cause me trouble over it, I will deal with them. Guess 14. But the truth of the matter is like all you little wannabe little thugs, you want to hide behind something. You was talking about a cage match. I said, okay, well, who am I going to be a cage match against? And they refused to say, if you were in New York, you would know, because I went with Eli. Eli knows I'm white. Well, I don't know. The thing about it is no Christian identity pastor can have an official pet mamzer or pet Jew or anything like that. If they do, then they are going to be ridiculed behind their back. And just like every other of these critters in the vow movement, what they want to do is they want to go ahead and tear down movement leaders. So like Ashkenazi Asswife and the rest, want to tear down movement leaders, but they don't want to go ahead and put themselves up as offering an alternative plan. Not at all. What they want to do is that they want to go ahead and pretend that they are so tough. And I was listening to Sword Mamzer talk improbable stories about how he nearly killed 15 niggers with his revolver. Well, what happens, he's had to reload 3 times in order to go ahead and get all the niggers. He was talking about this sort of thing, and what happens, Sword Mamzer wants to be a pig. And he was talking all about last week of coming down and seeing me. And I was thinking, holy shit, the wild man DeClaro is here. I do not want this bastard at my house. Certainly don't want him in a house across the street doing who knows what, plotting who knows what. Because this character is a lot smarter than Liar Bill DeClaro. And by the way, Liar Bill has been talking the same crap. I would like to see him say this thing to my face. Well, look, Liar Bill DeClaro, I'm not going to go up to Florence with Missouri. See, over the years, you end up having these people, you know, if you end up having, oh, by the way, Billy Wood and Brian Wright, Thursday, what happens with Seedliner, you know, me and John Britton, what happens is that me, Brian Wright, well, I was obviously on the call. What happens is John Britton was guest number 5. Guest number 8 was Brian Wright. And Seedliner was Jeremy Visser. He went ahead, he logged in, he logged off, seeing they could go ahead and get in, and they went ahead and signed in as Seedliner. And I figured out at that time that, yes, he was, because he went ahead, and just like Visser does, he's a little pisser-possum mamzer. And if you go ahead and overhaul his senses, he has a little like hyena, a little chuckle, and he goes ahead and puts LOL, the stupidest thing. It's a little characteristic of Visser. And when he dropped that LOL at the stupidest place, shit, Seedliner is Visser. And then I went over, and I got numerous spies and sock puppets over on Pisser's Pussy Palace. essentially, at this time, it really wasn't in the hidden section. It was pretty well where you could see it. And they lost their little temper. And essentially, Visser goes ahead and admits that he was on there. No, he wasn't on there. As Pastor Visser, logged off. He was on there as seed liner. And the thing about it is that what he does is dirt under a false name. Okay? Well, what happens is that, yeah, look, guess number 14, that's, you know, I mean, that's probably true. The thing about it is, I figured, liar Bill outweighs me about 100 pounds, though. No, he don't. He's, you know, for my guy, he's about 250, 260. I'm 250. Okay? You know, I mean, I can't really, you know, when it's hot like this was, I really can't eat a whole awful lot during the summertime. I just don't have as much appetite during the summer. But then again, I don't do a whole awful lot except work a little bit on my garden. And it's growing up pretty good. But in any case, Liar Bill, you know, Liar Bill, I'm 6 inches taller, at least 4 inches longer than you, Liar Bill. You know, I mean, you can try to go ahead and sit on me, but it ain't going to work. And the thing about it is, you got to laugh, because if you go ahead and look at Liar Bill's criminal record on CaseNet, essentially at the age of 20, he was just a little sneak thief, and he got caught. He was a very smart one. And then 1996, bingo, he gets caught with an illegal weapon. Now, I don't know if that was an illegal weapon because he was a felon, or if it was an actual illegal weapon. But rather than go to, you know, if you go ahead and look at court records, he got shock time, which means he probably got, 60 or 90 or 120 days in prison, and then a, quote, suspended imposition sentence. How does that happen? Answer, he's a narc. And essentially came down to visit me for about, a day and a half, and to go ahead and look and to snoop, just like he does with Ron Edwards. And he came back, and he's playing his little game. Which is fine, he ain't very smart. But I certainly wasn't going to go ahead and have someone who was a lot smarter than Liar Bill, some little Jew boy like Sword Manzer, come down. Essentially, he wants to be a pig. He wants to be a pig, just like most Manzers do over white men. But here we were, and earlier, about a day earlier, one of the people who was on there was, you know, she calls herself the happy hedonist. And I'm looking at that, and you're saying, you're calling yourself the happy, you know, hedonist? Why? I mean, why don't you go ahead and do like, when I was a kid, well, in the Army, Sword Manzer's age, actually in the Army, and why don't you just go ahead and just call yourself the happy hooker? And essentially, she looked down on me, because I didn't like niggers. And this other wigger was yapping because I just said, look, you're just a stupid wigger bitch. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. I said, you're a snob. And you look down, you go ahead and look down on white people. On people who supposedly have one green tooth and live in a double wide. Well, answer, I have a picture of my house, 338. Rabbit Track Road, and let me tell you, it's a small old house here, double wide, like at the foot of the hill, is better living than, actually more living, you know, better living space, more space, you know, than this old house I live in. But hey, this old house suits me and it suits Roxy. You know, I couldn't even move her in because she was superstitious and, you know, knew somebody went ahead and died in that trailer house. I said, well, shoot, somebody died in this house, too. This house is nearly 100 years old, and this old guy named Danfelser, who owned it a couple of years before us, he died in this house. Well, I didn't know him. I did know the guy who died down there. Now, in the face of such female logic, what do you do? And the answer of it is you can't do too much. But the thing about, you know, where was I? Anyway, old Sword Manzer went ahead and cast me. Oh, we'll get to this, you know, Canadian female. I said, you're a snob. And she came back and said, what do you mean I'm a snob? I said, look, the fact of the matter is, just like most, you know, just like most wiggers, you actually hate and fear niggers. But you look down on somebody who would go ahead and save you from them. If Leroy, Tyrone Williams, and Mob Dick X were following you, you know, were chasing you to rape you and, you know, kill you and eat you and have, you know, have one-stop shopping for Wigger Snatch, what happens is that you'd sort of run in front of them here, and then you'd get winded, and then you'd stop, and you still wouldn't believe what would happen to you. But someone like me, a Klansman or something like me, would go ahead and shoot Leroy and Mod Dick X. The thing about it is, you know, before they went ahead and raped you, before they went ahead and skinned you alive and killed and eat you, what happens is you go ahead and tell Zog on, you know, someone like me. And the answer is that they would. And, you know, Baptist hobbyist essentially was doing the same thing. He was playing his little game, little wigger game of you're nuts, you're insane, you're going to die old, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And he was bitching about rape, you know, about how rape is evil, how rape is awful. And I said, look, if you were private Baptist hobbyist, you know, section run by Sergeant Major Mandalore, and Sergeant Major Mandalore wanted to go ahead and give him some Jew pussy. Nope, puppy dog went ahead and opened it. All right, hold on. Yeah. One of them's little Bill's a pup. He's sort of like a little bull elephant. He has a good deal. When he gets what he wants, he goes ahead and he's persistent. I mean, puppy dog, or Bill's a pup, is a lot smarter and a lot more determined than your average wigger. He knows what he wants. He knows his own mind. He goes ahead and he does it. Hold on, folks. I got to shut this door. Oh. Anyway. Where was I? And I went ahead and, you know, here is Baptist hobbyist bitching and pissing and moaning. You're going to use rape as a weapon of war. Well, I have heard the same crap from Claire the Jukal Wolf with her 101 things to do in front of the revolution to where it's awful what he proposes. Why, yes, the first three editions of my smarmy, sanctimonious, self-righteous book, I went ahead and advanced modern militiamen. But I want you to go ahead and take out the resistor. Even though modern militiamen is just a free download on the internet, and it comes out every month, and it's free, whereas the resistor comes out every, two, three, four, five, 6 months, and costs $25 a copy. Hey, folks, if you wanted to go ahead and download the resistor, you could, if you wanted to go ahead and pay to read the resistor or read what was usually the third or fourth or fifth rate copies, you could do that. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with going ahead and just simply downloading Modern Militiaman for free and then not reading what you don't like. That's why I try to tell wiggers, if you don't like something, don't read it. If you don't like what you hear, don't show up to the show. What happens to people, you know, these people, and yes, you know, guest number four, you know, I have gone ahead and had special editions of it here, and 2 weeks ago I had a show at 4:00 Central Time. And the fact is, nobody called in. Nobody called in at all. This show ends up, by default, being very much a monologue for about 3 hours by me. That's what it ends up being. And anyway, yes, I can go ahead and do that. But, okay, well, you know, Pilsner, I mean, I loved Pilsner when I was in the Army. Today, we went over to visit the casino Indians, or Roxy did. Essentially, I don't know anything about gambling, and she went ahead and won. It was a free play, and I gave her my card and, $2 of my money, and then she played with $5 of her money, and she got $7 in nickel back. So as a result of playing my free play, she got a nickel off that. But she went ahead and won about $13-14 on her own free play or something like that. And she goes ahead, she does it. She wanted to get out of the house. So I went there and I went ahead and got me a draft beer, and well, they end up having Coors. I used to like Coors until I was stationed in Germany, and I was ruined for life from Coors after that. I could not drink Coors because it tasted like dishwater or something. And I've never liked Miller. And Bud gives me a headache, so I end up, drinking Michelob, and it was okay. But, essentially, Coors used to be pretty good, but supposedly no additives, no this, no that, and it used to be a regional beer. You couldn't get it in Missouri. You could get it in Kansas, but it was within, about 500 miles of Golden, Colorado. And the whole purpose of Smokey and the Bandit way back in 1976 was to truck it, a big bunch of Coors in a big truck, all across to Atlanta, Georgia, or something like that. Coors used to not be, very much here. And it used to be, from what I got, a better beer. But, after I got out of the Army, pretty well Coors and pretty well everything was pretty well ruined for me. About the only common beer I can go ahead and stand to drink is Busch, because at least it has the least amount of other chemicals and other crap here. Bud ends up giving me a headache, and I never could stand Miller or anything like that. But I don't know how I got to this. But anyway, this Wigress went ahead and asked, but this other Wigger, he was bitching. So I go ahead and I get into a room full of Wiggers. And then they whine, well, you call everybody Wigger. And the answer is that if you go ahead with anybody, you talk with any of the, quote, I won't say normals. They are normal to the time, but I call them typicals. And they usually spell T-Y-P-P-Y-C-U-L-L, typicals. Oh, and by the way, I went ahead and, made a few calls to the Nut House. One to my errant Bishop of Fulton, James Detmer, who killed his daddy with a hammer. And I said, look, Jimbo, of all my clergy, you have worked out the best. The answer of it is what I tell you, to keep your mouth shut. You keep your mouth shut, and you don't cause me any trouble. You don't cause me any grief. And I went ahead and inquired as to how he was doing, and he's doing okay. We used to go ahead and work on lawsuits as best we could while I was in the Nut House. And, he doesn't cause any trouble. But getting on to typical Wiggers. The thing about it is every single one of them loves Zog. And certainly did Baptist Hobbyist. I'm nuts. You're nuts. You belong in that house. I hope you die. I told, hey, I hope living in Austin, Texas, that you and your wife get raped by beers. And I pointed out to him, since he had no love for me, I certainly had no love for his kind. And here he is talking that if he sees, he's private, Baptist Hobbyist, and he sees Sergeant Major Mandalore raping a Jewess, he's going to shoot Sergeant Major Mandalore. No, you're not, you dumbass Wigger. The fact of the matter is that you won't shoot beaters who are raping white women. And you're going to go ahead and shoot what you think are other Wiggers raping Jewesses? How's that going to work out? And the answer of it is, it's not. It's not. And I tried to go ahead and find out his name. If you're so tough, what's coming your name? Because everybody knows my name and my face, and that is what you end up having in the bowel movement. You end up having these little Wiggers and Jews who hide behind an anonymous email, or anonymous address, and, by the way, Nurse Ratchet, guess what was playing at the Nut House on the TV set? None other than One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And from what I gather, they don't go ahead and allow the ones who are getting their sight, you know, the ones who are actually nuts, getting their psychic repaired, they don't let them watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. But if you're waiting trial, they go ahead and allow it. And it was playing on one of the old, I think it was playing on what, AMC or something like that, the Nurture Ratchet or something like that. And the thing about it is when you're looking at it here, parts of it, you know, I mean, actually, in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, they had a lot more freedom than you do, you know, locked up in the real nut house here. But parts of it, when all these people are waiting for medication, you know, this one guy said it looks like the security tapes over at Biggs. And that's what it does. You end up having all these nuts and tards and, you know, crazies and criminals going ahead and taking their psychotropic dope, waiting in line like a bunch of thieves. And that's exactly, I mean, you know, in some ways, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is actually a somewhat apt thing here. The thing about it is, though, is that the nuts there got to go ahead and take a day trip, and in the movie, you had Jack Nicholson going ahead and renting a boat or something like that. The nuts had a real good day trip, a real, 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 real good day trip. And that don't happen in that house here. See, what happens in Fulton, they're scared shitless of some nut, some homicidal maniac escaping and killing somebody because, hey, what are they going to do to them? Okay? But anyway, going on, the Will William B. Anyway, where was I? Well, the thing about it is, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I mean, if you go ahead and look at, you know, the closest thing is if you go ahead and look at where they're taking, you know, waiting in line for medications, that has been the same. That was the same in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Yeah, nothing has changed in 40 years. And like someone said, it was quite apt. Is that looking at that portion of the movie, it was just looking like a big security tape, where you end up having all your nuts lined up, and they don't allow you not to take your dope here, your forced dope. And that's why I was kept there by these stupid niggers illegally, forcibly doping me so they could say, well, he's nuts, and therefore he can't go ahead and prepare for trial because he has to be up at the nut house. And, you know, since he won't go ahead and behave himself in front of the judge, why, he's obviously nuts, you know, in this great, wonderful, you know, new world order, you know, same way the Russians did. Well, hey, if you do not like, what happens, they used to have shock therapy. They used to go ahead and do it. In fact, they used to have lobotomies at the nut house. Now, what kept me in line? What kept me in line was the threat that if I went ahead and acted up too much, they'd go ahead and dope me up with Haldol. And that's an old line, antipsychotic. It's as old as I am. And when it was invented in Belgium or wherever, it was not allowed. It was not allowed where it was invented. In fact, what happens is it's only allowed in American nut houses. Now, I'm quite sure the Russian nut houses used them as well. And when I was a kid, what they do is they take dissidents and simply said they're nuts because, hey, they don't love this worker's paradise, and they put them in a nut house and then dope them up. And we used to bitch. Zog used to bitch about the evilness of that. But guess what? Zog does the self-same thing. Zog does the self-same thing about elections. Zog does everything that they bitched at the Nazis and the communists and the rest did. Because Zog is a mighty evil empire, which is about to fall apart. And mighty evil empires, one thing that they are lacking is intelligence on how to go ahead and do repression. It's just the same old repression. So, yeah, they do whatever the hell they want to. And the thing, you know, for Siggy's pastor, I don't know what it is here. Okay, with fluoride in the water and limiting food, well, yes, you can go ahead and say fluoride used to be people used to say the Nazis went ahead and did put fluoride in the water because it made the population more, you know, more docile. I don't think the Nazis did any such thing, because everything gets blamed on the Nazis. But yeah, fluoride is a, you know, fluoride is a dangerous poison. If you go ahead and study, there are a bunch of chemists who tried to synthesize pure fluoride, and they poisoned themselves. It's worse than mercury. And what? And this stannous fluoride or something like that? Yes, it's a poison. It's a nerve poison. As far as the aluminum in the food, you know, they do wonder about the incidence of Alzheimer's. Well, I sort of think the Uyghurs, since they don't use their stupid minds anyway, I mean, in many cases, it's sort of like Calvin Coolidge and Ronald Reagan. When it was announced that they were dead, you know, in the case of Calvin Coolidge, this one reporter said, "How can you tell?" when someone said that Ronald Reagan was senile, you know, soon after he got out, so we should have seen now throughout his second term. How can you tell? You know, but, yeah, you know, Uyghurs do not, you know, Uyghurs hate other Uyghurs. And let me go ahead and look at this here blog. There's this one that I like a good deal. I have a number of them. And what happens by Wheeler McPherson. It's called the Caucasian Literary Review, blogspot.com. You know, the Caucasian Literary Review, blogspot.com. And he was talking about a friend of his, Stan, who died. Okay, Don't Defend. He had a short one called Don't Defend. And he shows a picture of a Uyghur hugging another Uyghur, and the Uyghur has a knife ready to go ahead and plunge in his back. It's a short one saying, "White men don't defend each other any more. Matter of fact, they turn and bite each other, please their masters for a penny, then bemoan their nation's lack of might." And that's exactly what that Uyghur was. That Uyghur hated me. And the answer is I hated that Uyghur back. Folks, Yahweh doesn't care what happens to Uyghurs. Doesn't care at all. Now, unlike most resistance leaders, I have somewhat of a plan. Now, this plan involves going with the flow of history. And what the flow of history says is that Zog is going to fall apart. There's going to be a mighty tribulation coming on, a great tribulation. And unlike some people who just simply say all you need to do is just pray for Jesus, I take a more proactive stance. And what I say is that I'm working on what I call the 10,000 Warlords program. Some of you might be warlords. Some of you might be people who will act underneath the warlords. But the fact of the matter is that under this 10,000 warlords, essentially, I go ahead and allow white men who have been betrayed, who have been hated, who have been turned on by the Uyghurs, essentially, I allow them free reign to do whatever they want to their enemies. I swore an oath on April 9th, 2004. That I would go ahead and do my best that every single regime criminal and every single member of a regime criminal family, all the way from the pigs, all the way up to Red Blunt and further higher, that I would send them screaming to hell as best I could. Otherwise, live with the fact that you're a coward and that they can go ahead and steal your children anytime they want to without no thing. There were times when I thought of going ahead and getting my gun and killing every single one of these motherfuckers over at the Newton County, Welfare Department. In fact, the matter is what I'm doing is I'm working politically to go ahead and encourage every single pig, every single regime criminal, and their families to be exterminated. Now, it's covered in the house of Ahab that says, so Yahweh does not care for tyrants. And Yahweh doesn't care what you do to a tyrant's bloodline, because obviously Yahweh didn't intervene. Here comes Ferdinand. You are promoting evil. And I said, well, if you want to look at it that way, Yahweh promotes evil because he allows Satan to run wild. What are you going to do against evil men? The answer of it is that these people ain't going to do anything. So, in the case of Visser, he's not really a wimp. In the case of a wimp, like Visser or anything like that, Visser is not exact. Well, Visser is a wimp, but what happens, Visser is a Zog buy. He collects money from Zog. That's the nearest thing you go ahead and find. And what he did is that, like a coward and like a liar and like a thief, here he is saying something under the name of Feedliner that he wouldn't dare say. And I caught him. I caught him the other day, 2 days ago, just before my Thursday show. I caught him going ahead and misquoting me and say that I said that Gillette was owned by the feds. When actually, I was talking about liar Bill DeKalouf being owned by Zog. And what happens, he went ahead and read my blog where John Britton was bitching about it. He went ahead and changed it back. But I took screenshots. Visser hides under a name, and he says the crap, and then he whines like a pussy about, oh, slander! Slander, slander, slander. He's just like Clint Downey in that regard. Clint Downey slanders everybody, and then she whines, where are you Christian men that are saving a worthless cunt like me? From slander. My little meerkat won't do it. He's a pussy rubbed out. That's why I chose him. He ain't a man. He's a meerkat. Where are these Christian men who will go ahead and save me from the life of Willie Martin, who was the meekest man ever I knew? Martin Lister, John Knight, Hengist, oh no! And Visser does the same thing. Well, Visser, doesn't have any problem with character assassination, and neither did Sword Mamser. Sword Mamser was pulling the Mike Delaney on me, whine, about turds. How there's 50 turds over Bill Fink's site here. Oh, Bill, Bill Fink's his buddy, and Bill Fink's going to go ahead and do this and do that and ban me and do this and do that. Look, Sword Mamser, you're a 23 or 24 or 25-year-old German-Italian, probably a South Italian. From what I gather, you got cork brown eyes, dark hair, and look swarthy. The fact of the matter is that I think you're just a Mamser. But I think you're probably more than likely you're a Jew. Because from day one, my Judar was going off on you. Sure as hell was. And look, Sword Mamser, you're not going to go ahead and win, because the fact of the matter is that my picture has always been on my webpage somewhere. Be it from 1996 with Patrick Henry Online, be it with martinlinstead.org, be it with the latest martinlinstead.org, and the one from March 1st of 2009. Yeah, I'm fatter now, and I admit that. But the thing about it is, that I don't think that, Bill Fink or anybody like that will go ahead and, Ixabert. Well, hey, another little man, little Jew Mamser that hides behind a avatar screaming and hollering about me. The fact of the matter is that anybody who wants to see what I look like has been able to go ahead and see what I look like. Now, I posted a picture of Fat Linstead. I mean, I look fat. I mean, what can I say? But the fact of the matter is that I don't hide anything. I don't pretend. I don't play. Anyway, getting to where I want this movement to go ahead and go is that Zog is going to fall apart. And I believe right now, due to all the things that are happening to where the white man is the one who is losing his house and his job and any prospects are being given away, taken away from the white man and given to the nigger. And the very choice has been given to the Jew long since. He's being displaced by the beaner. And here's Baptist Hobbyist yapping how he's going to go ahead and kill Sergeant Major Mandalore in a resistance unit. You know, he's talking about hypothetical how he's going to go ahead and kill Sergeant Major Mandalore in a resistance unit for raping a Tychus, while at the same time, in Austin, Texas, you end up having beaners and niggers raping white women. You have an actual situation. What does Baptist Hobbyist do? Nothing. And I call him Baptist Hobbyist because his father is a Baptist minister. And like I always told him, why don't you go back to being a Baptist Hobbyist? Why don't you go back to being what you were? Or better yet, why don't you go ahead and follow the teachings of the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy, who essentially went from being a creator, the Woden's only living prophet that lived, to essentially saying, hey, I worship myself. Cut out the middleman. Just worship yourself. And the fact of the matter is bell priests can't do any such thing because they've got to go ahead, and every little wigger worships himself and thinks that he is the acme of light and reason. What happens since every little wigger worships himself? Mongoloid Hardy's prescription is not an invitation to priestcraft. That's why I sort of admire Mongoloid Hardy. He wasn't much of a writer, in about the day he was over at the Stumbling. But his wife does care for him. He does go ahead and do something, even though I don't agree with Mongoloid Hardy. And, in some cases, I don't really much care for Mongoloid Hardy. And I've heard that he has been locked up in the hole ever since May 24th, 25th, 26th of 2009. That's another thing. And Harold Covington was talking about Dennis and his brother Dan Mahan, who is about, they must be 60 or so by now. And now they're trying to go ahead and railroad Edgar Steele. They're trying to go ahead and put the grease on the thing real quick. But hey, poor old Mongoloid and poor old the Mahan brothers, they're pretty well being screwed. They don't have much of a case against them because that's why they're keeping them locked up. I guess my friend Bob Jost, they went ahead and ran through that thing, and the retarded football player Dorr went ahead and found him guilty of having weapons or something like that. And what happened to, shall not be infringed on the Second Amendment? And the answer of it is that, hey, they infringe whatever the hell they want to do, infringe on. Okay? But getting on to what's going on, let me see. Oh, is Ixelbert running wild on the floor? Okay. Well, I quite assume that you end up having, pisser possums, but as I look at, pisser possums are welcome on this chat. Well, they're not really welcome, but they're tolerated. You know what I mean? And the answer of it is that, no, you're not. We're not taking this country back, and all these little patriotic wet dreams are the same thing. And one of the tars that they end up having, Sword Manser didn't like them. Sword Manser was correct about that. He had this character called Clayton Douglas. And he whined like a pussy that we were not supporting him with our money. He wasn't going to talk to us Christian Dandy people. He would happily go, if he got some money, and talk to an Aryan Nations Congress and bitch about racism. They came up with stupid crap, is that he would have the Hells Angels beat us up for racism. You dumb shit. You dumb shit. Hells Angels is quite racist. You know what I mean? Quite racist. And the answer of it is I've never heard of any Hells Angels beating up any Klansmen or coming to some Klansmen or Christian Identity or Aryan Nations or whatever door and beating them up because they don't like niggers and sticks and, you know, beaners. The fact of the matter is that the Hells Angels don't have any nigger members. I know, because I asked old biker Bob up to the nut house. He said, of course not. You know, you ever seen nigger members of Hells Angels? Answer, no. You know, one of their crimes, you know, essentially the main crime of the Hells Angels is the Hells Angels essentially are a bunch of people who sort of stick together, unlike Quakers, and they'll beat the shit out of anybody who messes with them. And one of their crimes, well, other than selling meth and, you know, beating up wiggers is the fact that they are racist. They, you know, their big enemies are a bunch of these spicks, and wigger wannabes called the Mongols. Hell's Angels and the Mongols don't get along. At least I went ahead and seen that on Gangland. And unlike where Liar Bill was on the Clan of Mamsers, when you end up having a real gang, like with niggers or beaners or Hells Angels or something like that, there is a body count. Unlike Clan of Mamsers, which they call Clan of Killers, where essentially just two Anglo mestizos, two drunken Anglo mestizos beat up some little beaner, 16-year-old little beaner at a Kentucky County Fair, and Morris D's got $1.6 million. I like to see old Morris D's go ahead and go after a Hell's Angels chapter. Morris D's probably wouldn't dare because Morris D's would go ahead and get his ass whooped. And what happens is his little bodyguards would get their asses whooped too. Morris D's is just a cowardly, lying Jew pussy. He goes ahead and goes after these fake Aryan nations and the rest of the stuff here. Usually, most of the other factions of the Aryan nations, essentially all they are is, send me $25 and $10 a month and I will make you a major general of your state. And a little bit less, I'll make you a captain or a corporal or a private. Well, never a private. Never even a corporal. Always a captain or major or colonel or major general or whatever. Essentially, all they do is they get some money, probably from the ADL and SPLC, and they put up some crap. And they put it on a wigger's lawn. And occasionally, some of it gets to a nigger's lawn or a Jew's lawn. And there's a bunch of screaming as planned. And the SPLC and the ADL say, you got to send us some money to save us from these evil Aryan nation fucktards here. You've got to save us from Gerald O'Brien, a not quite 33-year-old hyper nigger wigger with a swastika tattooed on his sloping T-34 front plate forehead. You've got to go ahead and save from Gerald O'Brien. And what happens is that, you know, it's an ADL or SPLC false front because, hey, the man doesn't even have enough freaking money or know-how to run his own freaking email off his own web page. You know what I mean? How much does it cost to run a web page? Not very much. Oh, by the way, somebody named Terrace Booball sent me an email. And he went ahead and said that, he went ahead and told me that the Movement Turd has slightly more listeners than, even Bill Fink's what's left of this Christogenia thing on TalkShoe. So, not that that matters. I don't really worry about... See, I go ahead and I look at the statistics, and I have usually every week I end up having about, it used to be 80 when it first came up, and then it went up to 100, and then went up to 120. Usually I have 150 downloads or so a week, which is okay. I mean, I'm quite sure the FBI or whatever don't go ahead and download too awful much, but... In case, where was I? Here are all these little Rambos who are so tough and want me to go ahead and play a little game here. And, you know, usually what happens is that Clayton Douglas was screaming and whining or something like that here. You know what I mean? Oh, well, Jim Giles went on another rampage about me being a boy with speech impediment. Well, the thing about it is, though, is that, you know, Jim Giles yesterday went ahead and took down Radio Free Mississippi, and somewhere he got, for all his talk about poverty, he ended up buying a $280 copy of the Bulletin. Now, it may have been a little bit cheaper, but I tend to doubt it. He was talking about how he couldn't run for him, and essentially has his Mattoid and Mona Montgomery running on there, and you end up having an ass licker. The thing about it is Jim Giles, he's best at running a radio show. He ain't very good at writing anything, because the reason he ain't very good at writing anything is because Jim Giles ain't very good at thinking. You see, when I go ahead and do a speech, I ramble and ramble and ramble, and essentially my mind goes everywhere. It just goes ahead. And when I write, I take that wandering, wide-ranging mind of mine, and then I focus it on a point, like a Schwerpunkt, like the German military would say, a point of concentrated application. But when I'm talking, yes, I mean, you know, in many cases, I don't have anything to go ahead and bring me to it. That's why these shows are about 3 hours long. I go ahead and just have a monologue for a long, 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 long time. So the thing about it is I don't know where the shows are located, and I think they're going to go ahead and be relocated. He's going to go ahead and put them up. But I couldn't find, you know, Radio Free Mississippi and RebelArmy.com. They both go to the same place here. And I would have thought, if he had any freaking sense, he'd have kept Radio Free Mississippi, you know, with the radio show, and he'd have kept, other, you know, Rebel Army, he'd gone ahead and, you know, put that on his blog. But maybe what he'll do, because they'll go ahead and give you the links. Now, I went ahead and have over the past year or two copied every single one of the show except for the last three or four. So I think he's going to go ahead and put that thing up. But the thing about it is he said that he used to try to run forums. He's not very good at running forums. The answer is no, he's not. And the reason he's not very good at running forums is that he's not a very good writer. And the reason he's not a very good writer is because he's not a very good thinker. Now, if you download Harold Covington's podcast, and Harold Covington does the best podcast, the most professional podcast in the entire movement. Essentially, I always listen to every single one. And he said that Jim Giles has, I think as he put it, has done what is not common. You know, every one of Jim Giles is a work of art. You would pay $200 for a Broadway show, and the answer of it is I wouldn't pay a nickel, you know, to Jim Giles, much less $200. I'm sure Zog is going ahead and paying for his water bill and the rest, and that's where I'm sure he ended up getting the money for it. Essentially, he's on the Zog payroll. But, you know, I think he'll go ahead and put the thing up, and it may actually be up there to where you can go ahead and find the thing. But what he ought to do is he ought to go ahead and have either Rebel Army or Radio Free Mississippi, probably Radio Free Mississippi, go ahead and have his archive shows and put them back up again so people can go ahead and download them. Because what he does is he does the radio show very well. He is like a typical media personality. He's not able to think. He's not able to think. And the reason he's not able, you know, he's able to think on his feet, but not able to think at all. Okay. So, anyway, going on, you know, well, that's where they, okay. Anyway, I'm glad you came in, the real William B. And I'm, you know, I mean, I think this is the first time you came in. I know I have Apocalypse, Papa Cat, and the rest of these people who are still there. And welcome, Trash Can Man. Getting on to what is going on with Wiggers. These particular Wiggers hate my guts. At the same time, every single Wigger will go ahead and betray another Wigger, because that's what Wiggers do. And I read you that poem by by Wheeler McPherson. Don't Defend. And I think I'll go ahead and put it up here on my forum. Because that's exactly what Wiggers are. Wiggers are treacherous. And one of the things is that, you know, my own brother, you know, my big fight with him was in 2001 when I overheard him saying up in South Dakota when it came time to fix the fence that he was glad the government sent our dad to prison. And essentially, he went ahead and he said, no, he didn't say that. He's still in denial. When I was in that house, I overheard him saying that he was hoping that I would be in prison for the rest of my life. And he went ahead and hinted that in May of this year. He went ahead and said that. He hoped the government would send me to prison for the rest of my life. Now, what do I do? I mean, here he is. We shared the same womb. He don't have any Jew blood in him. He don't have any Mamzer blood, you know, contrary to old Sword Mamzer. See, Sword Mamzer, he likes going ahead and hiding. And said, well, you must have Jew blood in him. You must have Indian blood. I said, you sound like Mona Montgomery. Essentially, you being a Mamzer yourself, you got to go ahead and accuse everybody else of being a Mamzer, just like Brian Wright does with Jeremy Visser. And I'm pretty sure Brian Wright and Jeremy Visser are Mamzers. They act like, you know, they act like little Mamzer faggots who are playing this little game, just like faggots like doing. Who's going to go ahead and out here? And for my God, the faggots had a magazine called Out or something like that to where they would out each other. Faggots don't have any love. I mean, but then again, you got to laugh at faggots. I mean, faggots have killed each other, you know, more of each other with their dicks than any Georgia fag stomper has ever done. More faggots have died of AIDS thanks to another faggot dick than have ever been stomped by any hateful white man. You know, by a factor of about, you know, several thousand to one. For every faggot that got stomped to death by a fag stomper, you know, or Matthew Shepard or whatever, there's been a million or two faggots that have died of AIDS. You know what I mean? Faggots kill each other in the name of love. And then, you know, I mean, that's the way Wiggers do. Wiggers kill each other in the name of racial love and tolerance and the rest of this shit. And that's why I was going ahead and talking about this Wigger, Baptist hobbyist. Here he was, and I knew what he was before. A week or so ago, he was whining about polygamy being against God's law, and I pointed out, is that the patriarchs practiced polygamy. Abraham practiced polygamy. Isaac didn't. But Jacob Israel certainly practiced polygamy. And as a result of polygamy, you are the result, chances are, unless you're the son of, you know, unless you're descended, you know, pure line for Reuben, you're a great, 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 however many great grandbastard, if you look at it that way. And you're not going to get around very much in the world of Christian identity if you go ahead and refer to these deep wood Christian identity people who have a second wife as adulterers and fornicators and their children as bastards. You're not going to get very far. You're probably going to get your ass beat. But being a Wigger, you're not going to be allowed to know these congregations. You're just a Baptist hobbyist. That's all you are. And the fact of the matter is that you hate me as a Wigger. You sense correctly that Zog is falling apart, and you whine, you piss, and you moan about it. You come to Christian identity to go ahead and play it being an identity Christian, but you're not an identity Christian. You're just some little Baptist hobbyist Wigger playing at shit here, playing Rambo, playing tough, doing this, doing that. Talking about having a cage match with me. Okay, well, who am I fighting? Well, you'll know that when you get there. Over at Stumble Inn, in late 2009, there was this English guy named Masty who essentially is an English brawler. So like Mandalore, who's a New Jersey brawler. Yo Basti, I'm sure has higher feelings or something like that, but usually likes getting drunk. And he went ahead and fought with this little man. He went ahead and argued with this little mamzer that they called Tardanus. It's spelled T-A-R-D-A-N-U-S here. Basically, what it meant like retardanus, but they called him Tardanus. And Tardanus was supposed to go ahead and have a little fight at a bar, man to man, out in the alley. And guess what? Tardanus didn't show up. So I was supposed to go ahead and drive up to Wirebill, the Cluelesses here. Well, hey, if I show up here, I'll get thrown in jail. I'll be sent back to the nut house. Why would I want to go ahead and drive to New York to see some 23, 24, 25-year-old mamzer hiding in mama's or daddy's basement who wants to go ahead and be a pig, who essentially is playing this little game, why in the world would I want to go ahead and do that? Okay? Why would I want to go ahead and do that? Anyway, Tardanus, Apocalypse says Tardanus was a Serbian Balkanoid mamzer. Well, I bet he was. Masti is a cartoon character? I don't know. I wouldn't tell that to Masti to his face. The problem is, you go ahead and you arrange to have a little knockdown drag out, back of the bar, pub, or as they call it, It's not really a bar. They call it the pub. And, in Germany, they call it guest house. But you go ahead, Masti would probably show up there, and Masti would probably beat your ass. It happens Tardanus figured as much. So Tardanus went ahead and stood up Masti. because Masti would have turned nasty on Tardanus. And that's the same thing. You end up having all these wiggers playing their little game. And the fact of the matter is that wiggers, they live in the real life of beaners going ahead and killing, killing and raping and robbing white women and other wiggers. And essentially, they sit down and they support the police doing that sort of thing and keeping the white man down. But hey, for a hypothetical, they're going to go ahead and shoot their superior non-commissioned officer, Mandalore, because he hates Jewesses, and he wants to go ahead and rape and humiliate them, and then go ahead and cut their throats. Folks, there is a difference between Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee, like I pointed out at the start of the program, would have been far better off if he had simply just gone ahead and give up the niggers to the North and wouldn't have even fought a civil war, because 300,000 Confederate lives were lost fighting in order to lose. Don't fight unless you intend to win. And if you intend to win, you do whatever the heck you need to do. The thing about it is what I see is when things end up with this great tribulation, there will come a time to go ahead and mop up these wiggers, these regime criminals, who went ahead and with all their talk about love and racism or something like that, went ahead and brought and made this thing inevitable. Many of the time I'd go ahead and hear so-called resistance people talk about how they hoped I'd go ahead and be convicted of child molestation and raped up the ass by niggers. And what I got to say to them is when I see this crap here, maybe I'll go ahead and maybe keep a special horde of niggers in a cage to ass rape you and your entire worthless wigger family because you wished it upon me. Why in the world shouldn't I wish it on you? Look, you regime criminal motherfuckers, you started a civil war, and you lost. The white man, even under Verge of being Christian, under Colonel Dr. John Shivington, went ahead and massacred the Cheyenne at Sand Creek, and they didn't have a bit of problem with it here. And if you look at the history of our people, they did whatever they had to against the red niggers, against the niggers, against other whites in religious wars. Religious tolerance was not granted because the Catholic Church decided that, oh, my God, we're going to go ahead and play a little game play a little game to where, okay, I'm sort of thinking here. I believe, you know, freshman, I believe in telegony as well. It's called, it's, you know, what you're talking about is called telegony. Farmers believe in telegony. Now, a reason you have some Christian identity preachers claim telegony doesn't happen because they want, don't want to claim that Eve was a victim of telegony because she went ahead and was seduced by Satan. But the fact of the matter is that maybe if Eve wouldn't have been seduced by Satan, if Adam and Eve had chosen racial loyalty, we might not have had free will, and therefore we might not have died. But then again, that's sort of iffy matter here. I mean, getting into things that generally don't know anything about. And that's another thing Wiggers do. They talk so dogmatically about shit they don't know anything about. Had Sword Mamzer, had, Number A, and you had Baptist Hobbyist, all yapping about Phineas Priest. They didn't know a damn thing. Phineas killed the race mixer. And I said, who are the Midianites? Well, they were Canaanites. No, they weren't. They were descended from Adam's third wife, Keturah. And they ended up being part of the Arabs. But was Abraham a race mixer? No. Was Moses, whose wife was Zipporah, or who was the daughter of Jethro, a Midianite chieftain. And the Midianites lived in the south of the part of Sinai. That's where they were wandering around in the 40 years. Was Moses a race mixer? Well, no. So, if Phineas went ahead and killed a Benjamite prince and a Midianite princess, he wasn't killing race mixers, was he? And the answer is no. Why was that Midianite pussy a bad thing? Because it was pagan Midianite pussy, meant to go ahead and deter the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from Yahweh. And Yahweh went ahead and brought in a curse upon them. He went ahead and bred up a special curse, and Phineas went ahead and stopped it by going ahead. But Phineas was not a killer of race mixers. The Midianites were related to the Israelites. But you can't tell Wiggers that because they know everything. And the fact of the matter is they don't know jack shit. They don't know jack shit. The fact of the matter is that Wiggers, you can't tell Wiggers nothing. Wiggers always know more. And Number A will say, I've been loyal to you, Martin. I've been this and I've been that. Okay, he got mad because I called him an idiot. But what do you call somebody who prattles on and on and on about something he doesn't know? And the problem with Wiggers, the same problem with Ronald Reagan, it isn't all the stuff you don't know that you're honest to admit that you don't know. It's all the stupid crap that's been pounded in your head at the Wigger factory from the age of 3 to the age of what, 25, 26. Depending on how much higher education you can stand. It's all that stupid crap that they put in your head. That's what's killing you. That's what's turned you into a coward. That's what turned you into a fool. That's what's turned you into a Wigger. And I pointed out to Buck is that in many cases I was a Wigger too. Here I am in a nuclear missile battalion, going to go ahead and start, essentially, World War III was going to start. And, here's Sword Mamzer. You're not a combat veteran. For which you should be grateful, Sword Mamzer. Because if I'd been a combat veteran, tactical nuclear weapons would have been launched. And if tactical nuclear weapons would have been launched, it was just a matter before theater and then intercontinental ballistic missiles were launched. And there would not have been very much of a Russia or Germany or a France or an England or North America left here. the entire Northern Hemisphere would have been gone ahead and reduced to roving bands here. So for which you idiots should be grateful that I was not a combat veteran. Because, you know, the scenario was that the Russian hordes bore past the Fulda Gap, and these little lance nuclear missiles are pretty well which keeps the Russian hordes from invading Paris. And underneath all these reforgers and these field training exercises, directly from the president, would come release to start out with these small nuclear weapons, these lance missiles. And since we were a nuclear arm tip, one of, you know, there were six of them, three HE, high explosive, you know, bomblets, cluster bombs, and three nukes, and I was in a nuclear launching one. So, folks, you ought to be grateful that I was not a nuclear veteran, not a combat veteran, because there wouldn't have been enough left there, would there? Well, what happens is if you go ahead and look, it wasn't, you know, King James that married, Moses married an Ethiopian woman. If you go ahead and read the book of Jasher, you go ahead and see that essentially Moses did not have sex with her. In some cases, Ethiopia was known as Cush, and there were some white people there as well, basically ruling over the niggers, just like South Africa used to be. And if you go ahead and look, Moses did have an Ethiopian woman because what he was is he was Pharaoh's general. And Moses was predicted before, if you read Josephus and you also read the book of Jasher, the birth of Moses was predicted. And Jannes and Jambres, which is also mentioned in the Bible, knew that Moses would pretty well spell an end to the Hebrew slavery. Now, people say, Jews were there. Well, hey, no, any smart Pharaoh would have said, hey, look, Jew boy, I'll let your people go and you take the niggers with you. But, yeah, Moses was married to an Ethiopian woman. Now, whether or not she was a white Ethiopian woman or a nigger, but I sort of think that she was probably a white, just like with the Queen Sheba and the rest. You know, the thing about it is, though, is if you read Josephus and you read the book of Enoch, he never had sex with her. But he was, quote, married to her, i.e., it was a matter of in order to go ahead and take this city or something like that, and rather have an actual war or something like that, he went ahead and married this Ethiopian woman. So, yes, he had an Ethiopian woman. From my gathering, he didn't have sex with her. So there was no race mixing, per se. You know, even if she had been dark, which is not by all means known. Okay? Well, the thing about, you know, is that William Fink probably ended up having a prison job. And where he came up with this stuff is Lorraine Swift. Used to go ahead and send the AIT here. You know, the thing about it is, I'm not going to talk shit about William Fink, and I'm not going to talk shit about Eli James. What happens, they have their ministry, and it's a totally different ministry than mine. Mine's a political ministry. So the thing about it is I don't have anything to say against Eli James. Well, what do you think? You know, they don't really have anything, I hope, to say against me. Now, I don't like the little Jew bastard that they have sneaking around. You know, I don't like Sword Mancer, but then again, I haven't liked the little bastard since day one. He hasn't liked me. He used to play his little game. I can call you pastor because I don't know who you've been ordained by. And that's the same thing that every little mamzer says. I went ahead and told him this morning. I said, you're no different than Vladder the ponderous sour poofter over at Mutant Sperm Front. They went ahead and had me banned because I called Daryl Lamont Jenkins a nigger. Oh, Daryl Lamont Jenkins is a nigger. You know, one people's project, well, I call it one nigger's project. Yeah, I call Daryl Lamont Jenkins a nigger, and I got banned over at Mutant Sperm Front. Oh, wow. He used to have the same shit. And same with Billy Roper. Billy Roper says, I'm not a duly ordained Christian identity minister. Well, who are you, Ashkenazi asswipe? You're a little Jack Mormon. Actually, probably a little Jack Creatard is what you are. worshiping a dead Jew on a stick, worshiping a gut sick Guido weasel, Jew ass cancer, worshiping traitor Glenn Miller. You don't have any say in who is Chris Dad Danny ministry or not. The operating verse is Jeremiah 3:15. It says that Yahweh will bring his ministers to feed his flock. And that's what I'm doing tonight. So yeah, I told Ford Mamzer as much. And here he comes up. I'm not gonna believe it. Dan Gaiman went ahead and testified against the order of Fort Smith. You gotta give me a transcript. No, I don't. How am I gonna get a transcript from a trial that happened, 20 some years ago? Generally, if you go ahead and look, you have the ADL and the SPLC on one side and Lewis Beam on the other, and they all agree. The only thing they don't agree is how much money from the order Dan Gaiman got. Some people say $10,000, some people say $12,000, some people say as high as $25,000. That's what I heard from Katja Lane, you know, the wife of David Lane. So I tend to believe he probably got $25,000 and he held out, you know, $12,000 or so. That sounds like something Dan Gaiman would do. But essentially, they all agree. They went ahead and testified against the very people who went ahead and took the money from. And Dan Gaiman should have just simply said, hey, I prayed to Yahweh, and Yahweh went ahead and sent a brown paper bag on my front porch. I don't know anything about stolen money. Yahweh provided. And that's what he should have said. But no, he went ahead. He went ahead and did all this other stupid shit. You know what I mean? Okay. Well, whenever, you know, Jews talk about G.D., I go ahead and say that Jews are the spawn of D/G. You know, it's more like Linio Barcelos here, who calls himself Son of Light. Well, you know, he's probably a little Jew Mamzer here, because by calling himself Son of Light, he's essentially saying the same thing Jews are, is that they're the sons of Lucifer. But I'll go ahead and get into that later here. But the fact of the matter is you end up having all these Zogmas and these Wiggers show up. And they play their little game about how they are so righteous. They're so righteous. And I'm such an evil asshole. Look, the fact of the matter is that going ahead and showing that you mean business. And Wiggers will not believe anything until that you show them that you mean business. Talk is cheap. Talk about how tough you are is cheap. But the fact of the matter is that maybe can cut down on the amount of necessary Uyghur extermination by essentially after the giant cities are destroyed, where you have all the muds and the rest here in the suburbs, where the muds go ahead and live on the Uyghurs, you can go ahead and maybe save a few towns of 10,000 if by the first one a resistance army comes to. They go ahead and massacre and torture and rape and loot and do whatever they need to do to the first couple, you know, towns of 10,000 or so, so that the rest of the towns, when they hear the news, is that I want the heads of your lawyers, your politicians, your judges, your social workers, your pig life, I want their heads and their pelts and that of their families. To four generations, I want them stacked neatly on the courthouse lawn by the close of business, 5 o'clock Friday. And Uyghurs ain't going to do that. Uyghurs are not going to do that until they know you mean fucking business. Baptist hobbyist, he hates other Uyghurs. He hates himself. He wants to die. And I've already covered that in, you know, Uyghur, you know, Zoggling Uyghur land is equals Zoggling, zombie land. You want to go ahead and know how to go ahead and act when things start falling apart? Go ahead and rent out this movie called Zombie Land or something like that. It was hilarious. It was stupid, but it had a number of good points. If you want to go ahead and look some more, see 28 days or 28 weeks after or what have you, because Uyghurdom is not easily exercised. It's been imprinted. And every single Uyghur loves Zog, just like Lot's wife loves Sodom and Gomorrah. I thought Yahweh was being an asshole, so she went ahead and she paid idolatry and love for Sodom by looking back and seeing all these evil people who Yahweh had condemned to death. And essentially, that was a reproach to Yahweh, and he went ahead and dealt with it. Right then, right there. The thing about it is, though, is that in many cases, Yahweh wants us to take care of the Uyghurs, and it's not enough to go ahead and pray and pay and send your Zogbucks today to somebody, you know, be it Betty Hine or be it any Christian identity minister or visser. Well, it has enough Zogbucks from the Department of Zogland Insecurity. You know what I mean? Keep your money and buy your own ammunition. Save your own life. So, a pistol possum. Yeah, anyway, you know, there might be some pistol possums. You never know. You know what I mean? So, oh yeah, I've seen that here. It was the stupidest thing here, to where you end up having the stupid Uyghur. You know, this, I'm thinking talking about Daughters of Men or something like that. To where you end up having this nigger go ahead, and they were talking about saving this nigger and this nigger baby. Jim is absolutely right. You know, he said that the last known female was a nigger. You know, was a nigger female. I'd go ahead and blow the nigger bitch's brains out. Rather than let the earth be populated with monkeys, or something to the effect. I need to post more Jume. But you end up having these Uyghurs, and Uyghurs hate you. Uyghurs, go ahead. And I had this Uyghur, Baptist hobbyist, essentially saying that he wished that I was sent back to Nuthouse. What's the same thing Trey Glenn Miller has to say? That's what my brother has to say. Essentially, Uyghurs have no loyalty to anybody other than themselves, and they worship themselves. So then what they do is they go ahead and pick and choose the Bible, and they read it to where they worship themselves. And they're like Mona Montgomery, you know, Mona Montgomery, even though Mona's straightforward nuts here. She belongs to the Roid Rage retard Jim Giles. But somebody went ahead and said that Edgar Steele made a mistake by going ahead and posting his thing in a letter. And I agree 100%. The only thing Edgar Steele should say is that I'm innocent, I've been set up, and don't let the Zog know what the hell you're doing. And one thing you ought to do is you ought to fire that public pretender. Fire the bastard. If Zog is going to go ahead and do whatever it's going to do to you, take it like a man, Edgar. Give up being a freaking lawyer. You got brain damage from 3 freaking years of law school. It taught you to think like a lawyer instead of thinking like a white man, instead of thinking like a human being. That's what Jerry Spence says. Jerry Spence is 10 times the lawyer you'll ever be, Edgar. You know, at least what happened with Jerry Spence got Randy Weaver off. It got Kevin Harris off. And you, Edgar, I mean, you say you're attorney for the damn. No. You're attorney for the fuck, because whoever has you as an attorney is fucked in most cases. Think about it is Zog don't obey any laws. Zog does whatever the hell you want to. And the only way to teach a Uyghur to mind his own business is to blind him and slit his nose and his tongue and cut off his hand. Here are these Uyghurs and these Mamzers talking, well, this is like Genghis Khan. What happened? Genghis Khan's empire fell apart after he died. No, it didn't. He was perfect. He was in good shape 60 years later under Kublai Khan. But yes, it eventually fell. But the fact of the matter is every empire of man falls. The Genghis Khan, you know, the name Genghis Khan meant the perfect warrior, and he was. The whole story is that, you know, Genghis Khan, well, you know, he was a tough son of a bitch. But the fact of the matter is, like they said, that a virgin could go ahead and travel from one length of China all the way to Damascus with a bag of gold atop her head and arrive at the extent of Genghis Khan's land with both her virginity and the bag of gold intact. Because what happens, Genghis Khan was hell on rebels and thieves who didn't mind their own business. Folks, if you can't go ahead and mind your own business, what are you doing, Christian Daddy? Why are you here? Is what I have to say. Anyway, yeah, well, Mike Delaney, I don't know. I need to go ahead and get Pastor Winstead up on 1&1.com. And, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, these guys were saying that I'd be at war with Eli James and Bill Fink if I went ahead and got down on Sword Mamzer. In fact, the matter is I don't think that's going to be the case. No Christian identity minister, you know, can have a pet Jew or a pet Mamzer. They get to go ahead and run wild over other white men. You see, they bitch about Pete Peters. How can you bitch about Pete Peters if you end up having a pet Jew or a pet Mamzer who's running wild over some other, you know, Christian identity white man? Tell them what to do. Call them a child molester or something like that. See, what happens is that I wanted to have old Sword Mamzer bitch and scream and holler. I want him to reveal himself because he was backing down. He was trying to get under me. He was trying to get under my guard. He was actually talking about him coming to visit me on his way to go ahead and try to get a job in Mississippi or in Springfield, Missouri as a pig. Folks, that should tell you something right now here. What happens is that he serves Vogue. He don't serve the white man. He's just some little wigger playing as a game here. Who don't dare reveal his name. Who don't dare reveal his face because from what I gather, he's an obvious mamzer. And like it says in Isaiah, I believe, is to show that his countenance does rule against him. But I've heard people go ahead and say that I do not use, you know, that I do not quote the Bible. I do not quote the Bible. Well, let me go ahead, and I went ahead and moved this. Let's go ahead and talk about Midianites, and let's talk about a hero who went ahead and delivered the Israelites from Midian called Gideon. And people think that Gideon was popular. No, he wasn't. He was a white man living among a bunch of wiggers, and these wiggers got transferred from the valleys into the mountains. Judges chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Was Midian Canaan? No. Was Midian Philistines? Nope. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made them the dens which are in the mountains and the caves and strongholds. See, they drove them away from the fertile valleys and drove them into the mountains where they couldn't make as much food and therefore have as many babies. For 7 years, the Midianites were raised very high and the Wigger children of Israel were raised very low. It was a curse for this was upon Israel. Verse 3, and so it was when Israel had sown that the Midians came up and the Amalekites, the children of the east, even they came up against them. They encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou came unto Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. So it happens, the Midianites and these evil Canaanite Amalekites who had another infusion of demon spawn into Canaan, went ahead and was starving out the Israelites. For they came up with their cattle and tents, they came as grasshoppers for a multitude, for both they and their camels were outnumbered, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, woe is me! Woe is me! Woe is me! The Midianites got us fucked by the short hairs of wrath wiping us here. Oh, what happens is that we're making our women here, but oh my God, is that the old Sergeant Major Mandalore, the old Mandalore Ben Gilead, wants to go ahead and ass rape the Midianite woman and cut off her head. But guess what? That just hoppiest Ben Shithead is going to go ahead and shoot Sergeant Major Mandalore Ben Mean Ass. Or at least in his dreams he's going to. Wiggers don't change. This has been, 3,500 years ago? You know, and by the way, this tapping sound is my glasses. I've been given bifocals Them bifocals ain't worth shit. So I'm gonna put the glasses down. And it came to pass on the children of Israel, I cried unto the Lord because of Midian, that God, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, who said unto them, thus saith the Lord of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you. And go ahead and said, I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, who sat under the oak, which was Ophrah, which pertained unto Joash, the Abizariite or something, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. They had a small crop on a mountaintop, meadow, and Gideon had food, and he was hiding it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, said unto them, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You see, Gideon wasn't a wicked prophet. He was a white man. He was an Israelite. Even so, he was sort of laying low from the Midianites, from the Zogbots of his day. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told of us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord has forsaken us, delivered us into the hands of Midianites. Well, hey, look, don't whine to God, because God went ahead and gave you what you reaped. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherefore shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Yep. What happened with Gideonite? Was a green toothpick in flyover country, and he lived in a double wide, or the double wide of the day, that all these wiggers looked down on me. Heck, I don't even live in a double wide. He went ahead and he went ahead and made a sacrifice. I'm going to go ahead and go on to that. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called Jehovah Shalom unto this day, as yet no for of the Abizarites here, which was the tribelet of Manasseh, where Gideon came from. It came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the young bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that my father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. So in short, take your father's prime bullocks, and what happens is that you go ahead, you tear down your father's altar unto Baal, and you cut down the grove that is by it. In short, what happens is you go ahead and the Baal was equivalent to Woden or something like that. It was a little pagan gods that they thought could do something here. The white man's God. Oh, what happens is Moses was an Israel, was a Jew. He was a Jew, and he brought this Jew religion here. What happens with is that the Midianites are screwing us, but hey, it's because we departed from Woden. I mean, Baal, I mean, wherever. Quakers have not changed in 3,500 years. Wiggers are still the same. Wiggers are still ass clowns. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God on top in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the way of the grove, which you shall cut down. So in short, you tear down his altar. You tear down his altar. You kill your dad's cattle. You cut down the sacred Baal grove. I mean, ain't this really pissing on your father here who's an idolater? And the answer is, yeah. Then Gideon took 10 men of the servants, and as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was because he feared his father's household, the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. What happens is that your Benny Hines and the rest here, they didn't much care for that shit. He knew that he wouldn't do it. And, verse 28, when the men of the city rose in the mountain, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, the grove was cut down, it was on it, the second bullock was offered. And then he said, who has done this thing? Oh, they had a shit fit. And when they inquired, they asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. And the mayor of the city said unto Joash, they said to Gideon's dad, who had actually suffered the economic damage, They said to Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the grove that was by it. Oh, they didn't much care for Gideon doing what Yahweh told them to do, but here they are, screwed by the Midianites. What do? The wiggers go against the white man. the only white man, you know, one of the only white men left here, and they go against the white man, the Israelite. They have a shit fit about this stuff here. And Joash, the father, said unto all those who stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while he's yet mourning. But if he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar. So in short, they said, well, hold up, we're so big and bad. Let him go ahead and kill my son. Should be. Hey, he's far. He got a mighty hammer. So we can go ahead and, you know, deal with this guy who went ahead and did that to this awful god. And therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him because he has thrown out his altar. And we go on, and Gideon goes ahead and asks for another sign. And then the rest of you guys know about what happened with Gideon. He went ahead with 300 men, 300 white men, destroyed an army of, I think, 30,000. The thing about it is that Yahweh went ahead and said the Uyghurs are wild with the shit in the fight, and they're right. Uyghurs aren't. Okay, hold on, folks. I need to go ahead and, I need to go ahead and sign in here, folks. While I was doing some scripture, I like the pisser possum, who goes ahead and goes with a whole bunch of freaking scripture, but doesn't say anything. And I need to go ahead and listen to this latest tape. I think it's called a reprobate pisser possum. You know, well, he tells a reprobate mind. And I'm not sure if I'm mentioned here, but I think I'm supposed to be mentioned. But, you know, the pisser possum is such a mealy-mouthed little mouncer that it's probably going to go ahead and take an hour or so before I hear my name here, you know, being bitched and pissed and moaned against. But then again, what do you expect from pisser possums? I mean, what the hell? I mean, he has to go ahead and pretend to be somebody he's not while he's doing this stupid shit. You know what I mean? These people are pathetic. These people are so pathetic. It's pathetic here. But anyway, I went ahead, and my point was, is that even when you have all these Israelite Uyghurs and they're crying to Yahweh to save them, at the same time, what they want to do is they want to go ahead and kill the white man who Yahweh sent to them because he dares to go ahead and destroy their little altar. How dare you do that, Gideon? How dare you do that, Gideon? Gideon, you're an asshole. Gideon, you're a butt wipe. Gideon, you're bad. Bad. Look, 3,500 years have passed and Uyghurs are still Uyghurs. They have not changed one bit. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Now, some things I went ahead and added here. I mean, the thing about it is, rather than call me Baal Peor, call me Uyghur Piss on It. You know what I mean? Because Uyghurs, I piss on you and your little conception that you made in your little mind of God. The thing about it is that you worship in your own little mind. You worship yourself. You go ahead and set up a little altar to yourself, and you worship yourself. And when I go ahead and make fun of you or call you an idiot or do something like that here, your little feelings get hurt, and you whine more than Peter did when Jesus Christ said, get thee behind me. Folks, grow up. Grow up. Stand on your own feet and act like a white man. Don't act like a freaking Uyghur. Here they were. Here these Israelites were, and they were being starved to death. They were being crushed out of existence. Their food was being taken from them. They had to go ahead and harvest by night. Little fields that barely kept them alive. And what happens is that probably their children were starving to death here and dying. because they wouldn't increase. And even so, here they were being invaded by Midianites who were laid to them. But nowadays we're being invaded by beaners and pretty well living in our house scared of nigger mobs. And what happens is that, shoot, here you talk about in actuality niggers and, you know, niggers and beaners raping white women, but you have to go ahead and talk about going ahead and killing one of my warlords. When me. Send me back in the house because I simply advocate using whatever method of violence that will go ahead and get rid of these Midianites. I mean, not Midianites, but Midianites, which are related. These Jews and these niggers and these beaners doing whatever needs to be done to get rid of these people so that we can go ahead and live free in our own land, in our own property that Yahweh gave to us. What happens is that you Wiggers have to talk. Even though you pretend to be Christian identity, you have to go ahead and talk about what a freaking maniac I am. Folks, like I said, I may be, I'm a Nazi. I'm Christian identity, dual seed line. And yes, I may very well be insane according to you Wigger, Zoggling Wigger ass clown's notions. But the fact of the matter is that I will gladly live with being called insane while I call you people typical. TYPPYCULL. Sick animals. Sick, stupid, degenerate, cowardly, backstabbing, whining, lying animals that have not changed for the better but have actually become worse. In 3,500 years. Gideon had the same problem. You end up having 10,000 men. And Yahweh said, shit, most of them are wiggers. Most of them are wiggers. I'm a wigger. I'm going to come here, wigger. What happens is that I'm going to go ahead and kill one of these 300 who's mean to a Midianite, who's mean to a Malachite. We don't treat Malachi women and children that way. Oh, no. Well, what happens, they went ahead, and they had death grip, and they were treating Wigger men, women, and children badly. They were sending them to prison. They were doing whatever the hell they wanted to them. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and read. I'm going to go ahead and read Willard McPherson. It's Tuesday, July 20th, 2010, and I'm going to read it a second time. It's at the Caucasian Literary Review.blogspot.com, and it shows a man hugging another wigger, pot-bellied wigger. And the pot-bellied wigger is hugging him, but he has a dagger behind his back. And by the way, this wigger with the knife has a little halo drawn around, see, you know, which symbolizes the Baal priest, the hypocrite, the liar. It's called Don't Defend. White men don't defend each other any more. Matter of fact, they turn and bite each other, comma, please their master for a penny, comma, then bemoan their nation's lack of might. Folks, this thing could have been written 3,500 years ago under Gideon. You might have Gideon going ahead and daring do what Yahweh told him to. But the fact of the matter is that, hey, Wiggers didn't like it. Wiggers couldn't stand it. Wiggers can't stand anything other than they just love themselves. And you can't trust them. You can't trust a Wigger. Can't ever trust a Wigger. Never, ever, never, ever, never, ever. Hold on. Looks like TalkShoot Chat has gone ahead and sort of gone ahead and crapped out on me again here. So hold on, folks. Let me do a cut and paste. See, the reason I like the chat is that occasionally, like last Thursday, you end up having pisser possums on there, and pisser possums love running amok. And Essentially, when they run amok, you just go ahead and put them to where, hey, you see them. You see your little pisser possums. You know, past started pisser picked a pack of pickled poofter pisser possums. A pack of poofter pisser possums. Past started pisser picked. You know what I mean? I mean, some of this stuff. You know, you go ahead and look at Wiggers. You got to laugh. I think Yahweh went ahead and laughed when he sees stupid Wiggers. You know, if Yahweh could do anything, he must have laughed here, because otherwise he would have cried, because these people that he brought, you know, home from Egypt turned out in so many ways so disappointed. But then again, like Yahweh says, you know, in Psalms, God chose us, you know, this is what I end up hearing when I was a kid in Herbert Armstrong's church, is that God chose the foolish of the world. He chose the weak and base things. He chose the things which are despised, that no flesh should glory. Sons of God, you are called, not because of greatness. Let those who glory boast in Christ, not in their own greatness. And the tune went like, God chose the foolish of the world. He chose the weak and base things. He chose the things which are despised, that no flesh should glory. Sons of God, you are called, not because of greatness. Let them who glory boast in Christ, not in their own greatness. Hey, folks, I need to put the phone down for a second in order to go ahead and log back in. Hold on. Well, I have a cell phone, folks. And essentially, I go ahead and do a number of things when I go ahead and do this. The thing about it is that I don't know about being calm and collected. I decided, you know, tonight what I did is I didn't want to talk about Gideon. I mainly wanted to go ahead and talk about, I'll go ahead and talk about Ashkenazi ass wipe, and I'll go ahead and talk about a number of things. But essentially, the main thing I wanted to talk about is all these Wiggers and Mamsers who pretend to be Christian identity, but who are not. And just like in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, you end up having Mamsers creep in, even into the high priest's family. And Nehemiah and Ezra came in just like I do, and demand that these Mamsers and these Wiggers and these Baal priests be cast out and run off. Excuse me. If I go ahead and I seem calm and collected, it's because, well, I've been sitting back, I want to go ahead and sit back and do things here. Let me go ahead and put the computer on the desk, and I'm going to go ahead and play. Frenchman was listening to this here. I'm going to go ahead and play this thing you call Gorilla Girl, but I'm going to go ahead and play the thing that Harold Covington went ahead and played before that. To where, you know, essentially about the Civil War in Missouri. There was one hell of a Civil War in Missouri. And it was quite bloody. You end up having people like Quantrill and Bloody Bill Anderson. And the fact of the matter is, if they'd gone ahead and followed the advice, you know, essentially the tactics of Bloody Bill Anderson and Quantrill, and essentially the guy who made Quantrill back down. I think his name was Tom Poole or something like that. He was even meaner than, you know, Quantrill. And they backed Quantrill down. And Jesse James and the rest. And the fact of the matter is that the North would have learned that if they conquered the South, they would have been embracing fire ants into their bosom, just like Oxy Fagnut going ahead and visiting Jim Giles, and Jim Giles putting a fire ant in his ant farm. I'm talking about Oxy Fagnuts or Chris, you know, Constantine von Hoffmeister over at Four Fags, Little Story of Iowa, where he talks about putting ants in his anus, so he'll learn less to be a less arrogant prick here. And what happens, he's just a stupid little Jew, Whigger, whatever, you know, German, who pretends to be from a noble family. He was actually a degenerate, and Adolf Hitler would have probably, you know, gone ahead and ruled against him in a, you know, in a eugenics court. Anyway, in the case of, you know, the South lost. The South lost the war. And while Robert E. Lee might be going to heaven, the thing about it is that he shouldn't have fought this war if he didn't intend to fight it hard. Now, the war that's fought in Missouri was quite bloody, quite bloody. You had Jayhawkers against, you know, against the, what they call them, the Red Legs or the Guerrillas. And, you know, Covington believes that this thing was contemporary. Jesse James had quite a good career, long career as a bank robber and a train robber. And the reason he had is that he had political support from this guy named James Edwards. Last guy, you know, it might have been Jonathan Edwards. I think it was James Edwards, who was a newspaper writer who went ahead and after the war said that Jesse James was a hero. And in American, you know, legend, Jesse James was a hero against the banksters or whatever. And a lot of people call him a bandit. But he was sort of in the mold, like Robin Hood in England, and William Tell in Austria, and Florian Geyer in Germany, to where essentially he took supposedly the part of the poor, and he robbed from the rich, and the corrupt, and the Jew dominated in order to go ahead and give to the poor. And what happens is every white nation has had its Robin Hoods, as Florian Geyers, as William Tells, as Jesse James. Now, maybe Jesse James really wasn't, you know, maybe Jesse James wasn't as noble, but what happens, James Edwards went ahead and made him look good, and he came up with a book called Noted Guerrillas. He pointed out that, hey, these people, okay, William Tell was Swiss. Okay, and I think you're right, guest number 13. All right? Okay? The thing about it is, yes, I think William Tell was Swiss, okay? William Tell, however they pronounce it here. They pronounce it, you know, William or something like that. So, the fact of the matter is that, yes, guest number 13, you're right, and I'm wrong, okay? you better say this way feature here. I told one clerk, you know, the other day, you know, that she was right, I was wrong. I said, there'd be plenty of people who go ahead and pay good money every day after that. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play this, you know, this thing with the gorilla, you know, with the gorilla girl. But first it's going to be this section by this man telling about what happened during the Civil War and how they ended up, you know, these gorilla bands. You know, as I said, that, you know, there was no virtue or vice higher. You know, there was no vice that was hated as much as cowardice. And that's what we end up having in this bowel movement, is we have cowardice and treason. Okay, folks? Hold on. Let me go ahead and see if I got the thing set right.
There are terms of abuse and insult and belittlement, both against Gentiles and against other Jews. My favorite is Schmendrick. That's one thing you can learn real quick just by looking at their language. Jews are really, really full of hate, hatred for others, hatred of themselves, hatred of life. They're some really sick puppies. Okay, let's meander on towards the third music break. Some people have critiqued my novels and compared my fictional Northwest Volunteer Army with the Reconstruction-era Ku Klux Klan. Close, but no cigar, not quite. You have to remember that the Klan, throughout its long and colorful history, was never trying to bring about a revolution in the South. Indeed, it would have been a lot better for everybody if they had done. No, the Klan was always trying to preserve the status quo, to keep the niggers in their place, so to speak, whereas we seek to create an all-white homeland for our people, where the niggers, Jews, and Muds have no place, if you see the difference. The closest historical parallel to the NVA in this country's history would be the Missouri guerrillas who fought for the Confederate States of America during the Civil War. Small, irregular cavalry units led by men like William Clark Quantrill, Bloody Bill Anderson, and George Todd. They were actually fighting to end federal control of the South and establish a new nation, as we will be one day. The border war is a largely unknown part of this country's history, and I'm not surprised because the political and social establishment in this country has always found it very embarrassing, since the Confederate guerrillas were a lot more colorful and they also had an inconvenient habit of usually winning. I'm going to start by playing you a passage read by a gentleman named Dave Parra on the subject of the Missouri Rebel Irregulars. I'm not sure where it comes from, but judging from the language, it's probably more or less contemporary, either from a 19th century news article or one of the first books ever written about the frontier war. The reading will be followed by a song called Guerrilla Man, sung by Kathy Barton and Dave Parra, and featuring an Appalachian folk instrument called the Mountain Dulcimer. Now, when I first heard this song, I wasn't sure it was authentic because it seemed a bit out of place for the 19th century Americans to use a word like guerrilla. It sounded kind of stilted and artificial. But I did some checking, and sure enough, in contemporary usage, such as the newspapers and military reports and other official documents of the time, while both sides called each other bushwhackers, the Southerners were usually referred to as guerrillas, while the Union irregulars from Kansas, led by a United States Senator named James Lane, were called redlegs because they wore red flannel leggings instead of uniforms. Anyway, those of you who are curious about my concept of Northwest Volunteers, here's a blast from the past for you. They had passwords that only the initiated understood, and signals which meant everything or nothing. A night bird was a messenger, a day bird a courier. They knew the names or the numbers of the pursuing regiments from the shoes of their horses, and told the nationality of troops by the manner in which twigs were broken along the line of march. They could see in the night like other beasts of prey, and hunted most when it was darkest. No matter for a road, so only there was a trail, and no matter for a trail, so only there was a direction. When there was no wind, and when the clouds hid the sun or the stars, they traveled by the moss on the trees. In the daytime, they looked for this moss with their eyes, and in the nighttime, with their hands. Living much in fastnesses, they were rarely surprised, while solitude developed and made more acute every instinct of self-preservation. By degrees, a caste began to be established, free to come and go, bound by no enlistment and dependent upon no bounty, hunted by one nation and apologized for by the other. Merciful rarely, and merciless often, loving liberty in a blind, idolatrous fashion, half reality, half superstition, holding no crime so bad as that of cowardice, courteous to women amid all the wild license of pillage and slaughter, steadfast as faith to comradeship or friend, too serious for boastfulness, and too near the unknown to deceive themselves with vanity. Starved today and feasted tomorrow, victorious in this combat or decimated in that, receiving no quarter and giving none, astonishing pursuers by the swiftness of a retreat, or shocking humanity by the completeness of a massacre, a sable fringe on the blood-red garments of civil war, or a perpetual cutthroat in ambush in the midst of contending Christians. Is it any wonder that in time the guerrilla organization came to have captains and leaders and discipline and a language and fastnesses and hiding places and a terrible banner unknown to the winds?
Okay, folks, let me see. I'm going to go ahead and pull the plug. Alrighty. Alright, folks, I love this show. I love this song. Like I went ahead and explained, is that my woman, Roxy, loves me, and she stuck by me for the past 20-some years. Now, sometimes we have a few harsh words for each other. You know, and that's just the nature of living with a woman. But the thing about it is that the reason she's with me is that she wants to be with a man. She wants to be with a white man. And, you know, so that's why she's gone ahead and stuck with me. Okay? Folks, let me go ahead and I'm going to plug in my cell phone and do a, you know, cut in order to finish the chat here. And then I'll go ahead and go to the second part of my show here. But first of all, I want to say is that, you know, these particular Wiggers and the rest, these people, these gorillas, had their partisans. These gorillas were white men fighting for freedom. And just like most Wiggers went ahead and bitched about Gideon, And most Whiggers bitched about Jesse James and George Poole and Bloody Bill Anderson. But they had loyalty. And they went ahead and fought the war as best they could, and a lot of times they won. The South would have gone ahead, and essentially been nothing more than a guerrilla, you know, than a guerrilla stand, to where there would have just been nothing but atrocities, atrocities, atrocities between the North and the South eventually. Just like in the case of Braveheart, where you had Edward I, who tried to conquer Scotland, and he wasn't allowed to do it. And then Robert the Bruce, England, got their screwing and their comeuppance, you know, underneath the faggy prince, Edward II. So what happens is that the only way you're going to have freedom, the only way you're going to have right, the only way you're going to have justice is if you are harsh, extremely harsh, to where every little Whigger, every little regime criminal knows that if he steps one foot out of line, he's going to be screaming. He's going to be sent screaming to hell, and his family's going to be destroyed. You don't allow criminals to run things. And you sure as hell don't let Jews and Namzers and Malachites and Midianites to go ahead and rule and allow Whiggers to go ahead and collaborate with them. If you're a traitor, you're a traitor, you deserve death, and you deserve to be hunted down. And there's so many traitors in this movement. There's so many collaborators. And the whole purpose of this show is every week at this time to go ahead and thoroughly cover what's been said. Now, I could probably do it far better, far more efficiently in 1 hour time like Covington does, but I don't think so. The thing about it is it takes me far more to go ahead and condense it rather than in my own rambling way cover this sort of thing. And the vast majority of you, you're not going to go ahead and call in, you might as well go ahead and download it. And essentially, I'm up to, what, 150 downloads a week. Now, I'm quite sure the FBI and the FDLC got the fresh copy fresh off the air. And sometimes I think the reason it talks to you, well, it has gone ahead and not let it be live, hasn't delisted it because, hey, you know, the Jews and the Fibbies and the rest want to know what the hell is going on in the bowel movement. But rather than have a total tard like Liability Clueless and Ashkenazi Asswipe and Trader Alex Litter and Trader Glenn Miller and Wiggerswill tell them, you know, because, you know, they're a bunch of liars, they just as soon go ahead and hear it from the horse's mouth or the horse's ass himself, Pastor Martin Luther Drzezinski Lindstedt. Because regardless of what happens, at least I'm going to go ahead and tell the truth of the matter. I might be wrong, but I'm never worried about being wrong as long as I'm not a dirty liar. I have been wrong quite a few times, lots of times. And, you know, as guest number 13, you know, went ahead and pointed out to me here. And, hey, well, you know, guest number 13, now that I think on it, guest number 13 was right, you know. And I was wrong, and, you know, I mean, maybe I wasn't, but that's the thought. I think I was. So, you know, in some cases, when you're wrong, you go ahead and you fess up and you man up. But the thing about it is that it's not a character issue with me. Whether or not you like me or something like that, at least I don't bother to lie to you. You know what I mean? In any case, the thing about it is that you know what I like about TalkShoe, you know, that I don't like about this other thing, and if I get kicked off the TalkShoe, I might have to do like Bill Fink does. But I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to go ahead and control it like Harold Covington does. Essentially, TalkShoe allows me the best thing. Now somebody said, APOC went ahead and said, well, can you go ahead and cut in music or something like that? And the answer of it is, I don't know. I don't know how to do this on TalkShoe. You know, it probably can be done, but I don't know how to do it. On the other hand, Breckenridge Elkins over at Stumble In, he goes ahead and he plays, you know, music. So if you're going to go ahead and start for the Beer Barrel, you know, Beer Barrel Radio or something like that, I would start out over on Blog Talk and do the block talk thingy first, and then, you know, then go ahead and worry about the other stuff here. In case, what you might do, guest number four, if you want to call in, is you can go ahead and buy cards for, you can buy cards for, 1 cent, 2 cents, and what I do is I go ahead and send, my friends to Nut House, they have 3 cents a minute calling. I go ahead and buy 500 minutes for $15 and, essentially keep things up here. I have a friend, he got sent to prison, because he was going ahead and getting a lawyer, and essentially I look after my friends, And folks, I do need to send a letter to Edgar Steele, and I do need to go ahead and ask about, Covington has a free Edgar Steele thing here. What happens is that, Edgar Steele, I don't think he's guilty. But as I said before, to me, it don't matter if he's guilty or not, because, hey, if Edgar Steele's on my side, I support Edgar Steele regardless. Now, this song about the Civil War or something like that here, the first thing is loyalty. Loyalty to Yahweh and loyalty to our people. Not loyalty to a political system that has failed us and has put the dirty Jew, the spawn of Satan, on top of every single dirty nigger mud and crud and beaters to go ahead and destroy our people while these dirty, stupid Wiggers, 90% of them, which are a waste of Wigger skin, go ahead and collaborate with Zog. As far as I'm concerned, Wigger, you're worse than a damn Jew, because guess what? I don't expect any better from Jews. They're the spawn of Satan. But the thing about it is, if you're a Wigger, you are a total worthless piece of shit. A total worthless piece of shit. As far as I'm concerned, I'd just go ahead and just soon send some nigger to go, if I keep a cage of niggers, it'll be to go ahead and rape you up the ass. Just like a lot of you want to go ahead and have happened to me. You know what I mean? Just like Sword Mamser and the rest here. I didn't expect any better from Sword Mamser. Essentially, I called to that Wigger, to Wigger thing to go ahead and flush that worthless bastard out. Fact of the matter is, he's like all these other little Wiggers that think that they're going to go ahead and pull me down while they sit. They sit behind a computer keyboard here and talk about how tough they are. You're not tough. What happens is I've had, over the years, a bunch of Wiggers threaten me and talk about, from Trader Glenn Miller. Trader Glenn Miller, we're going to meet at the Aurora parking lot, Walmart parking lot, if we're going to go ahead and have a fight here, your card, if you don't show up. And what does Trader Glenn Miller do? He admits he shows up with a dozen, essentially, of the Zog bots. You know what I mean? This is what gets me about Trader Glenn Miller. He goes ahead and says that he has his bodyguards collect his campaign contribution donations, his bodyguards. The worthless bastard doesn't have any bodyguards. He's just trying to go ahead and tell me that he does, so I don't have anybody ambushing me at the freaking Springfield post office where he goes ahead and collects some Zog bucks from Zog and from Wiggers. You know what I mean? Of course, it'd be a federal crime if somebody went ahead and beat the shit out of the old rat. On a federal post office. But he's got to go ahead and tell me that he has bodyguards to protect the old drunken senile rat. It's hilarious. You know what I mean? Anyway, so going on, I'm going to go ahead and for the second part of the show, because I've talked enough about Wiggers, the Wiggers are always on my mind because we got a Wigger problem, folks. Not a Jew problem, not a nigger problem, not a damn problem, a Wigger problem. I want to go ahead and go with the thing here. Now, with Jim Giles, what he did, and I'm going to go ahead and look again. But what he did with Radio Free Mississippi is he went ahead and turned it to a freaking V-Bulletin forum here. And this is V-Bulletin. Looking at this thing, it's V-Bulletin what? Oh, it's 4 point whatever. I hate V-Bulletin 4. It's crap. Even the people who own it think it's crap. So what they did is they set out as of July 15th, they set up the last version of version 3.8.6, to where if you pay $30 or $50, you go ahead and get a final patch for it. And okay, this is version 4.0.5. 4.0.1 came out in January, so this is 4.0.5. And, you know, essentially they end up, you know, having that. I went ahead and looked. Rebel Army, you click on Radio Free Mississippi, and you get to Rebel Army. If you type in Rebel Army, you end up going ahead and getting the same thing here. So it has video games, which is part of the stupid shit here. You have the front page. You have the forum, you have the freaking blogs. Let's see if we can find something on the blogs. Okay, there are no blog entries for the site here. See, the blog is turned in, but essentially D-Bulletin 4.0 costs $285. He might have got a little bit cheaper if he had a former D-Bulletin site, but I don't think so. And why should he worry about it? I mean, you know, essentially he's being paid by the department, you know, petty cash drawer of the Department of Homeland Security, James Giles is, so hey. You know, why should they really care? Why should they really care? But I've been looking for the thing here, and they don't. Yeah, I don't see a dang thing about it. Okay, members list. Oh, you dumb shit. Well, you have Hadding. Hadding the loveless Mattoid, and you end up having. Oh, you got Wiggerswill there. Well, Wiggerswill supposedly don't like him here. Oh, you have Pastor this. Oh shoot, this is a freaking Zogbot convention here. You got the Pisser Possum itself and Wiggerswill. You know, why not Alex Linder and Trader Glenn Miller? That is who they need. Oh, sure. This is hilarious here. Radio Free Mississippi, the Roy Rage Recharge Shot, the Pisser Possum, and Wiggerswill. All they need is Trader Glenn Miller and Alex Linder. Yes. They got Forrest Chubb and they got the Pisser Possum there. I think I need to have me my own little sock puppet. Not sock possum. Only Pisser has sock possums here. But I need to go ahead and have me a sock puppet or something like that. Send a little swarm of spies in there here. You know, that way go ahead and cause it. So anyway, Jim Giles, I think he's going to end up having his radio show because that's all he really has to offer is a radio show. He don't have anything intelligent to offer like written commentary because, like I said before, he's not able to think. Jim Giles isn't. That is his problem. You know, and he has a massive problem in that, you know, not being able to think, just being a mouth. Yes, he is, you know, he is hilarious, but he's also sort of pathetic. Now I want to go with 2 days ago about Ashkenazi Asswipe, and I'm going to go ahead and answer Ashkenazi Asswipe. But on Friday, July 23rd, he said, National Socialist Archivist Activist Bill White sounds off about Edgar Steele, rebuts Martin Lindstedt's false accusations against Alex Linder. Former ANSP Commander Bill White, otherwise known as Bitch Kiss Bill White / Weiss, because there are some people who think he's a Jew. He did, you know, I sort of think he might be a Jew because he came up with this crap that Jews always do about how dual seed line Christian identity is derived from the Talmud or Kabbalah. And Jews always say that here. How in the hell did old Bitch Kiss Bill learn that the dual seed line and, you know, the Jews sort of admit that they are the spawn of Satan? Now, he ran off because any Jew who goes ahead and brings up this stuff about where the Talmud says that Jews are the spawn of Satan, Hal Turner and Bill White, I don't know about, you know, Hal Turner, but the thing about it is, where was I? I'm looking at the chat here. Yeah, I like pincer possums as long as they're hilarious and they don't go ahead and get too gross. I sort of got tired of seeing swatter slash, you know, pincer go ahead. And he left the thing about me being a federal informant and a child molester, which is what the pincer, you know, the pincer is a fed, you know, federal informant. You know, and a mamzer. I don't think he's a child molester, but, you know, essentially what he is, he's just a little criminal, a little criminal mamzer. But, I'm talking about, you know, I don't know, you know, if I see what Hal Turner has to say. I mean, I don't see what the hell Hal Turner has to say anything about me, because essentially his little ass clown, Five Tabor, went ahead and drugged me out because, hey, I had some MTV Jewish paying more attention to me than he was paying to Sci-Fi. And this happened a week before Hal Turner got arrested by the feds. And, you know, Sci-Fi, he doesn't seem to realize, near does Pisser, is that essentially being turned out by Sci-Fi Faber a week before Hal Turner gets arrested, a month before he reveals he's a rat, 2 months before he reveals he's an Asian provocateur. I mean, hasn't Hal Turner talked shit against you? Is not exactly a bad thing in the movement. And having Bill, Bitch Kiss White Bill, scream and whine and piss and moan about me, that's not a bad thing, because most people don't much care for old Bitch Kiss Bill. I think Bitch Kiss Bill might not only been a Jew, I'm pretty sure he is a Zogbot. The problem of it is that unlike Hal Turner, A, he's not as smart as Hal Turner, you know, even though he thinks he is. And the problem of it is, what he actually got convicted for wasn't going against these political activists like the Jew-Canadian lawyer or something like that. What it was threatening some women with him being a big, bad Nazi, shaped like a pear with a 3-inch pecker. If not, he hasn't seen his pecker for 20 years. The thing about it is that pretending to be a big, bad Nazi when actually he was just a big, pear-shaped pussy, playing tough, and scaring some stupid wiggers and nigger females or something like that. Now, nigger females, that's a bunch of horse shit. You know, but hey, threatening some damn bank clerk in Kansas City because her bank didn't go ahead and approve your loan, that's a sort of low-rent thing to do. Going to the Jew banksters, begging for money, and then threatening some, you know, some wigger woman with a kid or two, you know, by how bad, you know, Nazi you are. I mean, shit, that is sort of criminal. You know what I mean? And how does that advance white nationalism? Answer, it doesn't. It makes you seem exactly what you are, a big, fat, pear-shaped Nazi. You know, pretend to be, you know, Nazi, pretend to be big, badass, scaring some poor woman to death. That's a sort of contemptible thing to do here. It really is. You know what I mean? Threaten some little, you know, minion because you can. That's sort of contemptible. But getting on, you know, getting on to old white reference here. See, white reference, I call him Ashkenazi asswife. Because his idea of activism is to go ahead and put literature paid for by the ADL, SPLC, in order to pretend that they're doing something. Or like David Duke, who essentially is just collecting the geezer gelt and the wigger smites and not doing anything. He ain't doing a damn thing. But anyway, former ANS, you know, WP, you know, I'm not ANS. It looks like asswipe here. Commander Bill White may be in stir, but he cannot be silenced. Well, some of us wish that maybe, you know, while he cannot be silenced, he shouldn't be silenced. Some of us wish that he wouldn't shut the fuck up. A portal has been created for him to get out information out in regard to situation attitudes. The portal is a website specifically dedicated to Bill White's situation. http://BillWhiteTrial.wordpress.com. And I went ahead and looked at it, and I'll go ahead and comment about it, but, you know, it's fast clownery. The website has been up for some time now, since March 2010, but I found it merely by accident. It contains a number of letters from Bill White. One letter is of some import. In this post, Bill White rebuts the allegation put forward by self-ordained DSCI Pastor Martin Lindstedt, whose real ordination was revoked by Pastor Morris L. Gillette in August 2005. Let me go ahead and answer this sort of thing. Look, wiggers. Look, mamzers. Look, zogbots. You don't get to go ahead and tell who is Christian identity pastors. Ashkenazi activists here and Pisser Possum and the rest here, They're no better shape than old Blotter, the ponderous foul poofter over at Mutant Sperm Front, who says, "Since I'm a hater, I'm not a real pastor." And like my social worker Dell Grills, "How can you say you're a pastor? You teach nothing but hate." Well, yeah, I'm preaching the white man's racial hate religion against you evil Quakers, against you evil Mamsers. Now, why was my ordination revoked by Morse Gillette? And the answer of it is that I advocated castrating regime criminals in their male spawn. You can't really castrate female spawn. The rape of Uyghur regime criminals and their female spawn. And prion poisoning, essentially poisoning the food supply so it can't support as many Uyghurs and Mamsers and Jews and Muds. Now, I'd gone ahead and said that for a number of things before I even met Gillette. And I asked this guy, Hengist, to not put this thing forward, but he went ahead and did it anyway, and he sort of betrayed me. I'm thinking it's because he's just a scared old man who wanted to go ahead and collect his check here, and I don't know if he was a traitor or not. But, hey, these people do whatever they want to. Okay? So, fact of the matter is I got kicked out of an extremist church for extremism. But hey, the pussy posse wants to pretend it was for child molestation, even though Gillette said he wasn't here. But look, Bill White and the rest of you people, you have no say over who is a dual seed line Christian identity pastor. As far as how big my church is, well, hey, I guess I got a fairly good following. I don't go ahead and look for them. I don't go ahead and try to find out who they are, where they live. The only time I try to go ahead and find out who you are is if you're a Zogbot or an enemy. Then I try to find out who you are. And you ain't going to like it when I do find out, Sword Mamser. You ain't going to like when I find out, Baptist Hobbyist. Because what happens, you're a bunch of cowards who hide behind anonymity here. But if I don't need to know your name, I don't. If I'm working for a federal informant where I go ahead, in some cases, like I have ever since 1995 when I got on the internet, if I thought it was a rather dangerous thing to do, I'd go ahead and I'd delete your email, I'd delete your address. I'd go ahead and take the message and post it on my webpage or on my list server. But essentially, I don't go ahead and want to know who you are. I take great steps to not know who you are. And unless you have something interesting or intelligent to write, you have no business posting on my forum. None. If you don't have anything to contribute, don't get on my forum. You can read my forum. Whatever you need to read, and whatever you need to hear, you can hear just the same as any Jew or any Zogbot or an NSA or something like that. Now, I'm quite sure the NSA goes ahead and records the thing here, but it's just a matter of stupidity because, hey, whatever I say, that I have to say, it's said. I certainly am not hiding my lighter underneath a bushel. And for those of you who want to think I'm a federal informant, well, please do so. Because then I don't have to worry about as much safeguarding your interests of anonymity if you go ahead and do it yourself, which is good. But anyway, the allegations was that Linder was an informant because he provided technical information about VNNF forum via deposition during White's federal trial. White writes, Alex Linder was literally drugged to testify by the U.S. Marshals. He did everything possible to avoid it. He did not contribute to my conviction or cooperate against me to my knowledge. So this should resolve the issue once and for all, although Martin Linder has virtually no credibility within the white nationalist community, except perhaps as a comedian. His chronic fuming and spewing against Uyghurs and Mamsers grows on you, and he is actually quite hilarious at times. Well, yes, you people do have a lot of fun. But the thing about it is, don't sweat Wickstrom. Stay away from Wickstrom. You know, a lot of people think that Wickstrom's a Zogbot. And essentially, you know, I certainly wouldn't hang around Wickstrom, not certainly if you end up having any woman you want to go ahead and keep up. I guess Wickstrom's just irresistible to certain sort of women at Walmart. But anyway, look, the fact of the matter is, if you go ahead and read, is that Alex Linder was an informant. He wasn't literally drugged into testifying. What I said is that he didn't need to testify. He should have gone ahead and deleted Bill White's information a month or so after he banned him, and certainly should have, you know, gone ahead and deleted his information when he knew that Bill White was stand trial. And I covered this. And people say, well, that wouldn't be good enough. The NSA could have gone ahead and listened to him. And the answer of it is, yes, the NSA would have listened to him. But the thing about it is that the NSA wouldn't have been able to testify because they probably didn't have a search warrant. They needed somebody whose information would tie Bill White to a particular IP number and email address. And that's what Alex Linder provided. He could have deleted that information any time and thus had nothing to say. That's what gets me. These people inform. Jim Giles goes ahead, and he is a federal informer. He went ahead and dropped a dime on this Dan Jones character. Alex Linder is an informant. In order to go ahead and cover the fact that Alex Linder went ahead and testified against Mitch Tiss Bill, and if you go ahead and read about it, Mitch Tiss Bill's little lawyer, and that's why you don't have a lawyer. This just Bill lawyer said, well, could have been changed. Hell yes, it could have been changed, but Linder, he bridled at that. Well, Linder should have said it sure can be changed if he was looking, you know, to go ahead and help his fellow Zogbot, this just Bill, but no. He's a federal informant receiving money from another federal informant and known federal informant, Trader Glenn Miller. And Wiggerswill and the rest. Well, since you end up having rats, talking to rats and sending each other to prison here. If Bill White went ahead and testified against Alex Linder, would we hear the same thing? Probably. Maybe. Maybe not. It depends. I guess it all depends on which traitor you love. Because Ashkenazi activist doesn't like Jim Giles. He says he's a traitor. But guess what? Linder's a traitor, too. He's a traitor against his fellow Zogbot, Mitch Tiss Bill. He did testify. He didn't need to, and that is exactly my point. So just because you end up having two rats going ahead and pulling each other's dicks and telling them it's all love and, hey, love and kisses and mangina slurping, you know, broke out for all, it still doesn't change the fact that Alex Linder didn't have to testify against Mitch Tiss Bill. If he'd just simply done the smart thing of deleting Bill White's information. And he didn't have to go ahead and do even anything. He didn't have to go ahead and reformat his drive. He didn't have to go ahead and do a defrag. Because what happens if Linder hadn't known about it, if he'd just simply gone ahead and deleted the information, Linder wouldn't have anything to testify about, would he? The whole purpose of DNNF is a data mining operation. And I know, I run a vBulletin for myself. You can see the IP number. You can go ahead and see, the email. You have to have an email in order to go ahead and register. It has to be operated sometime. Linder didn't have to do this. He could just simply delete the information. He had about what? Close to 2 years to delete this information, and he keeps it. And then a week before the trial, he gets a subpoena. And then boo-hoo-hoo-hoo, I got testify. You don't have to testify against shit if you don't know something. Why are you keeping this information? Why are you collecting this information? The answer is, Occam's razor, simplest explanation is likely the correct one, is that Linder is a data mining Zogbot. In addition to being gut sick, Guido weasel, Jew ass cancer, or gay bowel syndrome. I don't really care how many Zograts pull each other's dicks and say it's all love and kisses between them, and therefore what I end up having to say, which can be verified just by simple common sense, doesn't mean anything, and I have no credibility within the white nationalist community. Look, Ashkenazi activists, you don't have any credibility. We read you because we want to find out. Same reason I go ahead and look at the TV, because I want to know what Zog wants me to think. And that's why I go ahead and read your stupid blog. Because I want to know what Zog wants us to think. Your average Swigger, your average Nexus, your average Esquire. Okay? Folks, if you go ahead and believe stupid shit, you believe a lie, it's because you want to believe a lie. The reason you want to go ahead and believe a lie from the father of lies and the father of lies' children, the Jews and the Uyghurs who support them, is because you're a children, you're a spawn of Satan, adoptive or biological yourself. You live for the lie. You're a parasite. So, folks, if you end up having a problem with understanding the truth and trying to save your life, the fact of the matter is that you want to go to prison. I think bitch did still want to go to prison. I don't know why. It's not a wonderful place. The fact of the matter is that, you know, like I've told, is the days of Terry Glenn Miller when you were a rat and God took care of you was over. Now if you're a rat, you'll be treated like Hal Turner. You'll be treated like Bill White. And no one will shed a tear for you. I'm going to go ahead and read the comments. My even more contemporary interest is Bill White's analysis of the Edgar Steele case, posted on the same July 19th letter. Here are the relevant parts, and he goes on, I do not buy the Edgar Steele thing either, blah, blah, blah. It makes more sense. The ending man informant stole the money. The only thing I don't get are with the tapes here. He goes on, people should be telling Ed Steele these things. Look, bitch tits, you got convicted. It's sort of like going ahead and receiving. It's sort of like receiving strategic information from Ambrose Burnside, the U.S. the United States general in the Civil War, who sent a bunch of his men into this crater where they got shot down like dogs. Bitch tits, you are a big tard. You're in prison. You went ahead and got a lawyer. The lawyer sold you out. You're dicked. But he's right. When feds arrest an innocent person, they torture and brutalize them, try to break them, and get a false confession. Better live through 90 days of that than to confess. Believe me. Well, yeah, I'd sort of believe you now, bitch tits. If convicted, Ed is headed to a medium or low security prison. Why do you know that? There are easy, laid-back joints much better than 23 in lockdown. As a lawyer, he'll be besieged with people giving him things for legal advice. He'll have an easy time. How do you know that, bitch tits? First paragraph, you go ahead and say that to try to go ahead and brutalize him, get a false confession, to go ahead. And then next thing here, you tell Ed that he's going to have a nice time in prison. I don't know. He ain't have a very nice time in jail. Why would they treat him any better? They're playing their little games. They're sending back his letters. Why are they going to treat me better in prison? Number three, don't believe anyone. Well, hey, look. Look at item number one and two, which are contradictory. Don't believe bitch tips. The prosecutor will lie to get a special plea deal. The public pretender will lie. Of course he will. Call them public pretenders or pubic pretenders. The other inmates will lie and get off case to get a time cut. The marshals lie. They all lie. Of course they do. Don't plea. Particularly no subsection B plea, only subsection C, if he must. Don't plea at all. Pleading eliminates the right to challenge evidence, eliminates the rules of evidence since you aren't contesting it, and reinforces the standard of guilt, reduces the standard of guilt to preponderance to reasonable doubt. Fight, fight, fight. Yep, bitch tits, you were one hell of a fighter. Don't speak to anyone or write anything. If you must, lie. These people believe everything their informants say, so if you lie to the informants, it really messes them up, and they are lying to you anyway. Look, bitch tits, don't lie. Look, Edgar, don't tell people your story. We don't need to know. We believe you're innocent. Or even if you're not innocent, we don't care. You're on our side. Don't lie. Just don't say nothing. Nothing. Since White wrote these letters, the feds have jumped three more charges on Edgar Steele. Yeah, they did. On top of the original charge of use of interstate commerce facilities and commission murder for hire, new charges of use of explosive material to commit a federal felony, possession of a destructive device in relation to a crime of violence, and tampering with a victim. The tampering charge stems from Steele's alleged attempt in taped conversations to influence witnesses. The possession charge could lead to a sentence of less than 30 years plus 250, well, you know, whatever. Maximum 10 years, $250,000 penalties. $250,000. Huh. Interested, Bill White says he'll be out soon. Apparently, he believes the latest efforts by Fed to resurrect the Chicago charges will fail. Hopefully, he's right. And he goes ahead and tells where to go ahead and write to him. Look, receiving legal advice from bitch tits Bill White, I mean, shoot, you'd do better listen to your public pretender. Your public pretender's full of shit. So is Bill White. Bitch tits Bill don't know jack shit. He went ahead and thought he was a big bad Nazi, and he went ahead and threatened some, you know, some woman. Not a zogling, not a big bad tough zog pig, but some woman, and supposedly some niggers. That was bullshit. And that's why he's there. Thing about it is, you don't whine when zog screws you over, because you're going to do worse than zog when the time comes. The whole purpose is a revolution. And if somebody goes ahead and does you wrong, you go ahead and you do 10 times wrong to him, and you make him scream. You send him to hell. Them and their families. There are no innocents in a civil war. There's only sides. Remember when I was listening, this song here, that the only crime was cowardice? Well, there's another crime, and that's disloyalty. It all depends on what side you're on. Don't go ahead. When you go ahead and torture a regime criminal and send them screaming to hell, him and their family, you can go ahead and work, because you're in power, and you can go ahead and make whatever laws you want to. There's not been a single case in the case of Felix Dzerzhinsky, who went ahead and tortured these pigs, all the way from the local pig all the way up to the czar. Not a single case which Iron Felix went ahead and prosecuted was ever overturned. Why? And the answer of it is Iron Felix went ahead and safeguarded his revolution. Now, do I? Personally, Iron Felix, he wasn't a Jew. He was a Polish Lithuanian, but actually, he did serve the Jews. He was Lenin's policeman. But he took care of the ancient regime criminals. We'll go ahead and go with these 11 comments. But let me tell you, before I go to that with old bitch tits Bill, when I got out of jail, 2008, bitch tits Bill had been in jail for a month. And I went ahead and asked John Gerhardt, who does the legal work for the system, should we help bitch tits Bill? He said no, because he sided with Linder and Trader Glenn Miller and shitting on the order activists. And by the way, bitch tits Bill, he went ahead and shit on me when I was there. Told me about what a freaking tart I was. Look, bitch tits, I'm out of jail. Yes, I was tortured for 3.5 years in the jail, in the nut house, and doped up and all this sort of thing. Got 4 of my teeth broken out. But the fact of the matter is I'm out. And you're in. So who had the better legal strategy? Me? Of nothing but open defiance and hatred and contempt of Zog and their Zog courts? To where, guess what? Zog pig, you're going to go ahead and get the same justice you dished out. And then some. Or you, who many people think is an Asian provocateur yourself, who people think is a Jew, who people think is a liar and a coward. Let me go ahead and show the 11 comments. Because people are not buying Ashkenazi asswipe stuff. Bill White's advice is about as relevant as tits on a bull. He's not a national socialist. White and Shope are frauds posing as national socialists and misusing it for their own demented agenda. Yeah? Marcel Gillette is pure scum. Anything he says is null and void. He betrayed Pastor Butler in his final days and has spoken out against him. Gillette is an arrogant prick who stands shoulder to shoulder with the likes of Tom Martinez. Well, I don't know about Gillette. Time will tell here. I don't know what Gillette's going to do with his church. I hope he just goes ahead and takes the church back. Thing about it is, I don't think Lett went ahead and betrayed Pastor Butler in his final days, because what he did is Gillette went ahead and followed Ray Redfern. Ray Redfern was in rebellion against Butler, but Ray Redfern went back. So I don't think he really betrayed Pastor Butler, but I don't know about that stuff here. I may go ahead and ask, you know, John Britton about this here, but I don't think that's true. What I worry about with Gillette is that after all the work that me and John Britton did, is that we're sort of scared that he kind of deal with Zog, and that all the work we did in order to save his church ends up going ahead and advancing Zogbots and Pisser Possums. Kyle said, I'm surprised Bill can write so much to Edgar. No, not suspecting anybody of anything. I'm just surprised they allow one inmate to write a suspect, another suspect with advice. And usually that is the case. Not sure if lying while in prison is the best advice when everything can be used against you. Wow. You know, especially when you write that you ought to lie. That ain't very smart here, Mitch Stitz. Of course, Bill himself could be lying to mess up who. Who knows? I wish everybody luck and the best of justice. Look, Mitch Stitz, going ahead and telling people a lie ends up going ahead and that, you know, when the guy is in there for conspiracy, that's not exactly the best advice, Mitch Stitz. Anonymous. Oh, yes, Bill Wise Free would sure be great for the movement. Why? Why does he continue what he was doing before his fat mouth put him where he is today, making NF and white nationalists as a whole look like a loony bin? No, his fat ass is much better where it is. The big tent thinking that creeps like Weiss and Lindstedt has got to go. Well, I think that's Wiggerswill who's going ahead and talking that shit. Either Wiggerswill or creatively coon-tarded over there here. See, Lindstedt is Wiggerswill's way of going ahead and pronouncing my name. Just like all Jews and Zogmots, they can't spell my name right, because if they spell my name right, people go ahead and Google the thing here. So, Pisser, you know, he calls me Linseed. And sometimes they still call me Amy Rose after some, you know, poor woman who they shit on. And, you know, Lindstedt is a Wiggerswill. It's a Wiggerswill / Trader Glenn Miller production thing. Hope White Watch in jail. Too bad she'll been mullet with him. You know, that's the other Aryan Nations guy other than, you know, playing at Aryan Nations. I'm sure Duke and Holland will soon follow. Well, maybe, maybe not. I doubt it. And I was said, Aryan Nation only had 6 or 7 people show up for the Pulaski rally last weekend. 7-18. Ha! Well, there's some people who are mad at Shoup and Mullet. You know, I'm not really one of them. I don't really care what them people do. Why is the DA editors, who are supposed to be superior to the jigaboos, always look like white trash? Fat, skinny, out of shape, poorly dressed, unkempt, and undisciplined. Is this the appearance of the master race laughing my ass off? Anonymous said, Bill Wise is the obvious kite troublemaker, just like old Frank Cohen Collins. What's with him calling a national socialist activist? Only Jeff Shoup and the NSM would take such a shitbag and make him an officer in their organization. Like Doc Plusman to the Jew and Harrington the Satanist cult. Need I go on? Anonymous. Bill White is an ass rape has been. He's a nobody, and nobody but retards give a shit about him. ASP Buster said, Weiss is a traitorous lying sack of shit. He's not writing this deal in jail. He's trying to make himself important with lies as usual. Inmates are not allowed to write to inmates in another institution. I can't believe anyone believes the Tyke's lying garbage anymore. He's showing himself to be a traitor, a liar, mentally ill, and a communist. National socialist activist, my ass. Anonymous said, and this is probably the most correct. That faggot, Alex Linder, was hardly drug in to testify against Bill White, the liar. The feds catered to Linder and allowed him to testify by video at the trial due to some medical issue, probably complications from HIV or gay bowel syndrome, or being a gut sick Guido, he's a little Jewish cancer, you know, from, you know, Crohn's disease. While most of our victim witnesses were flown to Roanoke at the last minute, Bill and Alex would make good ass mates. Both of them are goofy and queer as a $2 bill. Well, look, Linder didn't have to testify against Mitch Stitz, Bill. Anybody who looks at this thing can figure that out. And I am going to go ahead and answer that, you know, Ashkenazi asswipe. And what it boils down to is, look, it don't matter what Bill White has to say about forgiving his fellow Zogbot. Who cares? It's really none. You know, if you allow informants to go ahead and sell informants, strike three at the forum. Okay, I'm not quite sure what you mean. Strike three at the forum. Okay. If that's somebody who's gone ahead and joined my forum, I'll go ahead and do that as soon as I can. Hey, folks, let me go ahead and put this thing down so I can go ahead and stay in the chat. Okay, let me see. In any case, Bill White has no credibility, none whatsoever. Thing about it is that Bill White, Bill White pretty well brought himself in. Now, folks, Zog had something to do with it. I don't doubt that. But going ahead with Alex Linder and Ashkenazi activists, essentially, people are on to Ashkenazi activists, and they're on to Alex Linder, and they're on to Bill White. There are no good traitors. Alex Linder didn't need to go ahead and testify against Bill White. He could have gone ahead and deleted the username well before he got subpoena. But he didn't. The reason why he didn't is that, hey, DNNF is a data mining operation. That's exactly what it is. Now, when I got out of jail, I went ahead and asked Gerhardt, who pretty well runs the legal arm of the resistance, and generally Gerhardt is overwhelmed and not able really to do any, do a whole awful lot, but he tries to go ahead and have activists do what they can do, for really having no funding at all. And folks, if you want to go ahead and do something here, actually support here, John Gerhardt of Johnson, Ohio, and it's on my forum. It's called Eurofolk. And pretty well, if you want, send him a contribution. I don't need your money, but John Gerhardt could use some money. If you want to actually support the prisoners of war, send John Gerhardt some money. I went ahead and was a member while I was in the Nut House. And I got a few issues, and they yelled this newsletter, and they were useful. And occasionally, I go ahead and get an email, which I go ahead and post to my forums. And things are getting rougher in these prisons. They're getting meaner and rougher all the time. And folks, if you want to go ahead and support our prisoners, you know, and you don't know, have an actual name, and you don't really want to go ahead and, you know, get your name in, go ahead and send him a money order, an anonymous money order to John Gerhart. Let me go ahead and look and see. Let me go ahead and look and see what I can go ahead and do, you know, find about that. Okay? Okay. It's on my whitenationalist.org forum. I'm going to go ahead and give a plug for John Gerhart. Brush Fires Online, a liberty rights activist here. Now, John used to be Christian Day, but I think he's gone too much ass-to-ru and wokeness and all this sort of shit. But it really don't freaking matter here, because essentially what John is doing is he's doing the best as he can for everyone in the movement, be they Christian Day or ass-to-ru or something here. I'm not going to freaking fight, you know, over religious things here, you know, because I'm not telling you to go ahead and ask you to send money here. The address is Liberty Rights Advocates, P.O. Box 713, Johnstown, Ohio, 43031. And the Gmail address is brushfires@gmail.com. Let me go ahead and give another repeat of that. Liberty Rights Advocates, P.O. Box 713, Johnstown, Ohio, 43031, at brushfires@gmail.com. Okay? Folks, if you want to go ahead and support, you know, I mean, pretty well every political prisoner, you know, probably go ahead and send it to John Gerhart's thing. But anyway, I went ahead and wrote there, John Gerhart. Should we go ahead and be supporting Bitch Tits Bill White? Essentially, he said that Bitch Tits Bill White, and he reminded the Bitch Tits went ahead and shit on me. Told me what a freaking retard I was. What a nutcase I was. And he shit on me. It hurt a little bit, but not that much, because I didn't really. I mean, you know, Bill White used to go ahead and make fun of libertines, and I like that. But the problem of it is that Bitch Tits Bill has a, you know, bad case of chutzpah. I do think he's probably a part Jew, the way he acts here. You don't act any better than a Jew. Certainly shit on me, but more importantly, he went ahead and shit on the order. And he was sucking Trader Glenn Miller's and Alex Linder's dicks in order to be on DNNF, the Tard Corral, the Greater Free Range Tard Corral. So Gerhart went ahead and wrote me and said, shit, we have a lot better. We have a lot better people, far more deserving than Bitch Tits Bill White. Besides, he has $260,000 on a lawyer on retainer. Really? From my area, the public pretender, when the rubber hit the road. All these real tough, real smart ass clowns playing at Revolution here. God, they're so tough. They are so tough. They are so tough. Look, I wouldn't, you know, the thing about it is that as far as I'm concerned, you know, maybe Bitch Tits doesn't belong in there, but the thing about it is he's not a racial loyalist. He's just a solipsist, probably another Asian provocateur. And I don't have too much sympathy more than him than for Hal Williams. And him yapping about what a freaking maniac I was, and that's not exactly what old Bitch Tits letter went ahead and said. He went ahead and cut the thing out. He went ahead and cut the thing off. Let me go ahead and read the 19th of the post here. I was under impression. Bill White has been banned from posting on the internet. He goes ahead. Here's Bill White letter to me dated July 19, 2010. He gives his thoughts on the mind-boggling Edgar Steele case. The Alex Linder comment is in response to charges made by Pastor Mark Winstead, perhaps others, that Alex Linder of VNNF is an informant for testifying in the December 2009 trial. Well, if you went ahead and testified in the 2009 trial, you are an informant. He was a prosecution witness. He says, Bill says no. Well, really? Well, he didn't testify against Bill White on December 15th via videotape? And the answer is sure he did. And what he did is he ended up having old Roid Rage retard Jim Giles cover the fact that he was an agent provocateur and a narc and a snitch by going ahead and inviting poor old Fade the Butcher slash Hunter Wallace in order to go ahead and bring up some shit against poor old Fade the Butcher. And Fade is sort of like Pillsbury Doughboy. But sometimes old Fade discovers he has a pair of nuts. He acts like that here. Roid Rage retard? He don't have a set of nuts. He's just a poser. So's Edgar, so's Bill White. And so is Alex Linder. Thing about it is they end up going ahead and being informed on and turned into prison by their own, by their own Zog side. Do they not go ahead and deserve what they get for serving the beast? But that's all they said. That's all they said. That's pretty well all they said about Linstead. Linder was literally drug in to testify by the U.S. Marshals. He did everything possible to avoid. He did not contribute to my conviction or cooperate against me to my knowledge. Sure, he contributed to your conviction. Why do you think he was brought in as a federal prosecution witness here? They thought he testified. They thought he contributed to your conviction. That was the whole purpose of being brought in. And from what I gathered, what he did is he brought in when your public pretender tried to say, well, could these things be changed? And the answer is hell yes. Hell yes. I don't know if he voted for him. I go ahead and see some Russian porn spammer. First thing I freaking do if I need me a sock puppet is I go ahead and change the freaking email. In the case of Seed Swallower slash Pisser Sock Possum, I went ahead and changed some character here from, either Free Lesbian Pictures or something from Russia or something like that to Seed Swallower at freelesbianpictures.com or something. You can change. You can go ahead and change that information, and then I change the password. So now I've taken over the account of some Russian spammer. And usually what I do is I leave the IP number intact because I don't want the thing going ahead and saying that it comes from my IP. But, yeah, anyway, I end up having Seed Swallower at freelesbianpictures.org, pictures.org. I went ahead and took over some Russian porn spammer's account. Are you saying that Alex Linder couldn't have done the same thing to old Bitch Tits Bill account? For that matter, why in the world does he even have Bitch Tits Bill's account? Essentially, Linder's a liar. He lied for the prosecution. You want to be both informed, you can go ahead and change the password. You can do whatever the hell you want to. That's what Linder did against me. We got tired of my shit causing trouble for Trader Glenn Miller after the Christmas coup of 2004. Why the hell couldn't Linder done that then? Answer? Linder didn't want to. Linder's a Zogbot. So guess what? Two federal informants pulling each other's dicks and saying that they're not responsible for informing on each other. Look, bitch, tits, Bill. You deserve whatever the hell you got. At least you're not as smart as Hal Turner. Hal Turner figured out he was getting dicked. So what's he do? He goes ahead and admits he's not only a rat, but he's a paid FBI agent provocateur trying to provoke stupid wiggers into making threats so they can be rounded up. Hal Turner has 10 times as much smarts as Bitch Test Bill White or Alex Linder will ever have. But then again, probably when poor old the gut sick weedle weasel with Jew ass cancer is on his final legs, just kicking out his very last, probably he'll go ahead and say, please, Zog, arrest me. Let me do one last thing for Zog. And please let me be treated for my AIDS. Or let me be treated for my gay bowel syndrome. Or let me be treated for my gay Jew ass cancer treatment as a gut sick weedle weasel. So I can kick my lost at the federal penitentiary in Springfield. Please, Vaughn, please. Who the hell do you idiots think you're fooling? I mean, that's what I'm like. You gotta laugh. You gotta laugh at Zogling Winger ass clowns here. I mean, they're so retarded here. You know what I mean? Only an idiot believes Zog, anything Zog has to say. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of in my life here. I gotta laugh. I mean, it is hilarious. It is hilarious, the stupid shit that these wiggers come up with here in order to explain why they're such liars. They get caught. And then when they get caught, they delete the evidence as if you're such a tard that you really need evidence against them here. I know what pigs did to me. I don't take one in, shove me, and, you know, broke out my teeth. You think I'm going to go ahead and worry about taking a hammer to a pig and making him eat his testicles because he suffers from pig-like testicle eating syndrome and that of his spawn? Do you think that what happens is that I'm going to give criminals a fair trial and I don't have enough evidence against them? Oh, they'll confess. And I hope they take 3-4 days to do so. Look, folks, Zog is screwing you over. And you people don't have any more sense than some Polack who went to, you know, who went to this Jew gynecologist, and the Jew went ahead and, you know, put some Vaseline jelly on his pecker and then screwed the Polack's wife in front of him. The Polack said, well, hey, it looks like a good thing, you know, Jew doctor, that, you know, you put some medicine on your tool here, because otherwise I think you was fucking my wife. This is a Polack joke. Folks, Zog is fucking you over. You're not going to get justice from a Zog court. So what happens is that, hey, take your screwing like a man. And whatever they sell, you go ahead and you give them 10 times as much. Don't whine like a pussy. Don't accept the public pretender. Don't explain nothing. The people who are on your side are on your side, and it doesn't matter whether or not you did something wrong. Stupid, 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 stupid people. Stupid, stupid, stupid wiggers. There's always material for at least one 3-hour show in this wonderful bowel movement of ours. There really is. Sometimes there's enough there's enough time for 3 3-hour shows every freaking day of the week. Well, not really. But, you know, there often is. There's no minimum to Zog corruption or Wigger stupidity. There really isn't. None. None whatsoever. In fact, the matter is, you better get your head out of your ass, Wiggers. You better understand that things are going to turn bad real quick. And don't beg for mercy. And don't give none either. Anyway, I think I covered Jim Giles. I think I covered the Wiggers. You know, the Wiggers I was in there. I covered Sword Mamser. What in the world does anybody need Sword Mamser and Christian Identity for? What in the world good is he? Wants to be a pig. 23, 24-year-old Mamser. Dark brown eyes, dark hair. Can't show his face. Can't give his real name. He's going to go ahead and pull me down? I don't think so. Don't think so. Look, folks. Some of these people, like Delaney and his pet Jew Kaplan, distributing things about 9/11, what good is that? Everybody knows Zog did it. What the hell more do you need to know? Why do you need to know exactly how Zog allegedly did it here, especially when something like that can't be known anyway? Well, Yahweh knows about it. Why would anybody other than Yahweh care? Zog did 9/11. Jews and Zog did 9/11, okay? I knew that. I knew that when I was seeing here. I knew Zog was at the bottom of this shit. I knew Jews were at the bottom of this. You know, they're maggots. They're the spawn of Satan. They do all this sort of shit. You know, why in the world do you have to end up having, you know, an advanced conspiracy theory to believe this shit? Okay, did I cover bitch tits bill? Yep, I think I did. And I'll go ahead and answer more of this stuff. I think I went ahead and covered Jeremy Visser. Essentially, all it is just so, you know, found out the sea swallower and Brian Wright, he's back with Brian Wright. Stupid bastard, don't have enough sense to go ahead. He shows something, and then I open the window, and then I save it. And if he changes it, I go ahead and bring back that file and do a screenshot. And he goes ahead and he hides stuff and he puts it back and he puts it forward. He deleted Pisser Sender, but it's probably somewhere back on there and it's probably reloaded. So what happens? He has a V-Bulletin switch off. Why in the world, Pisser, do you think you're fooling somebody? I have a V-Bulletin for him myself. I know, well, not all the tricks. I know a lot of the tricks. Probably more of the tricks than you know. In fact, Visser, I went ahead and saved your forum for you by telling you how to deal with Russian porn spammers. And I'll go ahead and unlock this guy pretty soon here when I get around to it. All right? So I think I've pretty well covered everything. It's been 3 hours and, about close to 3.5 hours. So I'm going ahead and listen. You know, Pastor Bill is afraid to phone you. No, Pastor Bill, he showed up 2 weeks ago. What happens last week, when I'm worried about, when I'm, you know, Wednesday, I go ahead and look and, you know, see about the truth of the Niglet nieces. I didn't see anything about it, but I went ahead and looked at, you know, Pastor Bill's criminal record at CaseNet. Go to Missouri CaseNet. Once you get to Missouri CaseNet, type in DCLUE, capital D-E, capital C-L-U-E, then type in William, and then for a middle is Sean, but type in F, and you'll go ahead and get 3-something, you know, in Florissant, Missouri, and you'll find out that, hey, essentially he's just a minor little criminal who turns state's evidence and spying on people. That's why he's at the Clan of Mamsers. That's why he went ahead and visited me for a day and a half. You go ahead and see what he looks like. He's just a short, fat, goofy-looking, you know, character with an 85 IQ on a good day. And pretty well he talks about, you know, how he molested, you know, this is in secret form on Pisser's, you know, Pisser's forum, how he did molest one of his nieces, but it was a white niece or something like that. Or he went ahead and supposedly molested somebody. He got charged with his stuff here. You know, essentially, probably they went ahead and let it drop because he's a little snitch for him. Let the weapons charge drop because he's a snitch for him. He never was anything other than just a thieving, stupid piece of shit who get caught. He's just a bungler is all he is. And essentially, he's not going to show up tonight. He's probably listening. He's not going to show up. Because, hey, you don't really want to go ahead and discuss matters with me or anybody who's listening. Okay? Anyway, no, Billy, you know, I'm talking about liability close. Billy Wood. Oh, Billy Wood. Oh, Pastor Bill, you showed up. Well, hey, he is in the chat room. Hey. No, Billy Wood is Brian, right? And Liabil, if you want to go ahead and stay on afterwards, you know, it don't really matter. You know what I mean? I really don't worry about him. Usually what happens, Liabil stays on for a short time and then gets as much abuse as a little 84 IQ can go ahead and stand. I see where he's worried about me talking to his face and, you know, essentially Liabil. I mean, you're just a mumps nutted, niglet niece molesting, 85 IQ, 250 pounds, you know, sack of dog shit, and a 150-pound sack. Ku Klux Klan of Clan Niglet Chester. You went ahead and told me a big story about your sisters marrying niggers and squeezing out niggers and how you had a big old thing here. Yeah, I know you went ahead and said a number of things, but the thing about it is, Liabil, is that whatever the hell you say, will be used against you, but, you know, nobody really believes anything of it. Okay? Well, no, you know, oh, well, Pastor Bill isn't here. Well, Bill's a failure. Of course he's a failure. I mean, the man ain't too smart. He got convicted when he was 20 years old of burglary and felony theft, and it took all 3 months for his public pretender to go ahead and plead him guilty. He spent 6 months in jail. And I'm sort of curious as to whether or not he had what kind of illegal weapon got confiscated, and whether or not he had 60 or 90 or 120 days shock time. But, you know, hey, you know, Liar Bill can go ahead and say something. You know what I mean? If I didn't have a job, I would be doing as much as no job, Linseed. Well, hey, you have a job, Liar Bill. What you do is you sit like a lump of dog shit, and you go ahead and listen to him, and you tell deluded lies here. You have a job. You know, you're paid out of the petty cash drawer of the Department of Homeland Security. Well, you're a movie star, Liar Bill. Don't you know that you were in Clan of Killers? Oh, whatever. You know what I mean? the thing about it is, he's not too smart here. You know, he was telling us he's a security officer, a gopher for somebody, but he shows up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. The thing about it is I doubt he has a job. I think he's probably just a big fat fuck on welfare. But, I mean, one thing he did say that was true was that he said he got a ticket to Springfield. He went ahead and paid it. There was another ticket in Fulton he went ahead and paid, and I was wondering, what the hell is he doing in Fulton? You know, maybe Liar Bill can go ahead and tell us one of these days, okay? But, I would love to sing for all you. Well, the thing about it is that Liar Bill already does sing for Zog. He sings for his supper. What happens is that old Liar Bill, what he does is he goes ahead to the FBI office in St. Louis here, and he goes ahead and begs for a stale donut here. I mean, Liar Bill is just not hilarious, you know what I mean? Bill? Liar Bill was hilarious. You know what I mean? Victor was right about you. Well, is that Victor as in Sea Swallower or Billy Wright or whatever? The thing about it is I'm not sure what the hell Visser has to say that's right about me. You know, right about me. Generally, Visser is such a big pussy. He goes ahead with his little deranged little snagglepuss voice here, and he's a mealy mouthed. He's one of the mealy mouthed, you know, worst bell priests I've ever seen in my life here. I mean, shoot, he ought to go ahead and just simply give up Christian identity with about 3 or 4 followers. You know, and as a mamzer, I mean, shoot, he'd get in good with Billy Hine here. Or Brian Wright here. Supposedly Brian Wright was an assistant pastor at a megachurch. Well, why don't you just go ahead and be back assistant pastor at a megachurch, you know, along with Pisser here. You know what I mean? Anyway. You know, anyway. Joan Klein is not a family. Liar Bill is just, you know, how would you know? Well, Liar Bill, you ought to be in communication right now with Obergender Bendering Pisser Puster Possum, because Obergender Bendering Pisser Puster Possum is far more smarter and hilarious than you here. I mean, I got to give old Obergender Bendering Pisser Puster Possum credit here. I mean, that is the brains. That is the brains of the outfit. Brian Wright, Billy Wood, Lion Wong. Not the Pisser Possum. Not Fruit Loop. But essentially, Obergender Bendering Pisser Puster Possum is the brains of the entire, Pisser's crew. 666 here. Yeah, I mean, that is who is the brains. And You know, at least sober gender, bedroom, pisser, pooster, possum. That's what helps sense of humor. I've gone ahead and used some of what the pisser, you know, pisser possum said here, and it's just hilarious. Okay? Well, yes, I'm sure old Bill is scared of being recorded here. But, in any case, come on, Larry Bill, let's fess up about, I was on TV 14. It's TV 14. You know? thing about it is that it is funny watching an 85 IQ on a good day, tard, trying to go ahead and lie to you. What happens, Wire Bill, he comes up with a lie, an excuse, and he goes on, and he goes on, and he goes on, and he goes on. So, anyway, you know, Glenn Killer is on the other channel, you know. Well, think about old Wire Bill. You know, I mean, I was talking to John Britton. He says, well, are you scared of Wire Bill? I said, no. You know, he said, well, what if he sits on you? I said, well, shit, Wire Bill and me are actually about the same weight here. I've gotten 30 pounds fatter since I got out of the nut house. So I weigh 250 pounds. But the thing about it is that I have 6 inches of height and 4 inches of length on Wire Bill. I mean, I'm still able to look down and see my pecker. I don't know if Wire Bill's been able to do that since after the age of 3. You know what I mean? But Wire Bill, he goes on. He's a delusional liar. He goes ahead and he listens. And the stupid crap that him and Brian Wright came about John Britton being a drunkard supposedly came from old Wire Bill's lies. I mean, I actually had Wire Bill talk to John Britton on using my cell phone. We're using Roxy's cell phone. And what happens, Wire Bill is sort of like an outdoor dog that went in the house. He didn't really know what to go ahead and say. And now he goes ahead and he claims that he wanted John Britton to ordain him. And he was trying to suck up to John Britton, but now it's Johnny Boy or Johnny Tonto to where he's a drunken Anglo-Mestizo Mormon or whatever. And he comes up with this stupid crap. And what happens, John would go ahead and probably beat the dog shit out of him if he could. But essentially I said, well, no, you leave that to me because, you know, Wire Bill's my problem, not yours, John. But the fact of the matter is, Wire Bill isn't going to come down here and cause trouble. Well, if he does, well, hey, well, I see Wire Bill, I'll just go ahead and assume that he's here to do me harm and, you know, go ahead and act accordingly. You hear that, Wire Bill? Huh? Huh? Anyway, why don't you tell your fools to shout out? Well, why? Wire Bill, you're here, you're being picked on, okay? Hmm? Hey, Wire Bill, it's 1:48. Don't you have an appointment you need to make at 9:30, you know, in the morning? Why, that just means you won't have much time to sleep before you go over to the FBI office here. But Wire Bill, the thing about it is it's not necessary. See, Wire Bill says that he's a gopher for somebody. He makes $20,000 a year. And I think it was a 2003 car with a ding in it here, and he's probably paying out the ass for it. But, hey, especially when you're an unemployable loser, you know, with a criminal record, you know, none too smart, I mean, that's about all you have. That's about all you have. Poor old Liar Bill, I mean, he probably ends up going ahead and eating the ramen noodles here they got a taste for. Well, knowing Liar Bill, he probably has a big old eagle Nazi swastika in the middle of his back with a big old yellow streak in it here. And to show that he's eager to please for the Aryan Brotherhood, you know, that's where he learned about the Clan of Mamsers. He probably got 2 SS rooms on both butt cheeks. I wouldn't doubt it. You know what I mean? It's a pity the poor old Wire Bill didn't go ahead and grow that big old beard cut in the back to go ahead and hide all them, you know, all them rooms here. You know what I mean? Anyway, one last not Marty, join us on Pisser's Forum. Well, hey, so you can go ahead and do to me what I end up going ahead and doing to you, Liar Bill, and do it to the Pisser. I still got the Pisser's account, even though, you know, both, you know, all Zogbots have an AOL account. Pisser does, and so does Liar Bill. So you can't really rely on the IP number. But, you know, in any case, poor old Liar Bill. Liar Bill, you know, I'm already over on Pisser's Pussy Palace. I have so many people. I go ahead and ask them to bring up an account. And what happens is they do. And then they go ahead and they tell me, you know, they tell me if there's something important. Most of the time, there's nothing important here. Now, the other day when you were bitching about Gillette or something like that, you guys all got pissed off and you had to show me your bullshit. And I caught pretty well Seedliner / this or out in the lie again. And you guys are not near as smart as what you think you are. Although, you really ought to listen to Pisser Pussy Possum. I mean, that, you know, that transgendered sow is actually the smartest one of a lot of you here. Y'all listen to Pisser Pussy Possum more. But, hey, you know, pretty well we stop at each other. We have a fine old time. So, anyway, no, Pisser. The fact of the matter is I'm already essentially over there anytime I want to be over there. In fact, Liar Bill, I mean, for 2.5 months, I was reading your private messages over at Sperm Fund. Hey, Liar Bill, when you go ahead and spy on somebody else here, you know, they ask you to go ahead and sign on Sperm Front on V-Bulletin, just remember, make sure you unclick off to remember me. but essentially what it boiled down to is I didn't learn a single damn thing that I didn't know before is that essentially Clint Downey by order of Don Black could go ahead and do whatever the hell she wants to. Oh, you were pissing and moaning. You wanted to ban old Lisa Lee, and you wanted to ban poor old Mordiver, and you wanted to ban everybody. You know, I mean, it just takes a little bit of power to go to your little bitty head, doesn't it? Here, your little bitty 85 IQ head. It don't take much. And here you are, bitching to Isaiah. Oh, the daddies are putting everything in this in the room. It's just themselves. It was a double daddy. Has special privileges here. Why, they go ahead and they pull this crap and they think they're so clever and they get away with this shit. Oh, please, I want to ban the daddies from them off. And it goes up to Isaiah. And then it goes up to Jack Poot. And then Jack Poot goes ahead and goes up to Don Black. And then Don Black essentially tells Jack Poot, who tells Lysia and tells you, that Jamie Downey can do whatever the hell she wants to do, which is exactly what me and the Pisser said at the time. There's one rule for Debbie Downey, and the reason she's on Stormfront is to go ahead and show newbies that she can do whatever the hell she wants to. You know what I mean? And everybody knew that. You know what I mean? So, anyway. So, we retarded. Dude, right, Marty. Anyway. But, no, Liar Bill, I mean, you know, one of these days you'll get to go ahead and somebody will go ahead and remove your poor old mumps-infested nuts, and you can go ahead and be a full-fledged male priest of Sibylle. You know what I mean? You can worship the holy cunt here, and then you won't have the meerkat nipping your nut sack on the downstroke with old cunt. You know? But essentially, cunt can do whatever the hell she wants. I knew that. But for a day and a half, when you pretended to be, you know, on my side, I went ahead and had a fine old time, and essentially like Sia went ahead and banned poor old Forrest Gump. Oh, by the way, even though she went ahead and banned Forrest Gump, what happens is the emails are still on Forrest Gump's email. I can resurrect them at any time. And I've learned with the pisser possums that what you do is you go ahead and immediately take a data download every single chance you can, because the pisser possums are such liars, such forgers, that they'll go ahead and change stuff, and then they'll change it back. And it'll disappear, and then it'll reappear. What happens with Visser? Visser is sort of like a little possum here. He has the same reflex as a little criminal. He goes ahead, and he lays low, and he dies down like he did for 4 weeks from April 23rd to May 21st. And then meanwhile, he went ahead and had Fruit Loop nuke Pisser Cinder in order to hide all the stuff. He claimed it was because of Amy Rose sock puppets went ahead and broke down the server. No, it didn't. You wanted to go ahead and keep control. So you did. You went ahead and took a backup, and now you set the switch to where you can't go ahead and read it. That's why I found out that the old Fruit Loop's name was wrong, Visser. Thing about it is that you criminals are not as smart as you think you are, and you never were. And you, Liar Bill, are the dumbest one of the pisser possums. Dead last. The highest is Oba Gender Bender and Pisser's Pister Possum, and then Brian Wright, and then Visser, and then Sully Manzer, Lenny O'Barcelos, and the rest here. And the thing about it is that all this stupid crap with sci-fi and the rest of it, where you pretend to be on the outs, well, you're back because you're Zogbots. You can't help it. But you people are not as smart as you think you are. You know what I mean? Anyway. Yes. So, the thing about it, though, I mean, Visser, he might be a guest or something like that. He got caught, with a little LOL, and then he got caught over, he pretty well admitted that him and Brian Wright were on Thursday's call. I'm sort of surprised with Liar Bill, who showed up. Did Liar Bill leave? Well, yes, it looks like, it looks like he left the chat here. Anyway, this was 1:57. This is going to end up being close to a 4-hour call. And the thing about it is, look, guest number 32. Okay. Well, what happens is I had to go ahead and guest number 32 left the chat. We're going to end up having problems with all these little mamsters or something like that. So, anyway, 33. See, that's what Jews end up doing. They think they're so smart. Okay. Hey, folks. 34. Yeah, see, that's what pisser possums do. He's go ahead and playing the little game. And the problem of it is, guest number 35 is logged in and he logged out. He's gonna go ahead and play the little game here. See, that's what these dirty little mamsters do. It's just like a little Jew attack. Hey folks, what I'm gonna end up having to do, you can go ahead and thank Visser, and you can thank the Pisser Possums for it. Is that I might have to go ahead, and essentially this is a pisser attack here, a little Jew attack. What I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to go ahead and block participation for a while. Okay, folks, I'm going to have to block. Rather than have this stupid crap to wear, I need to go ahead and continue with the program. I'm going to have to block participation by the guests. Okay. Okay. All right. Anyway, Well, it takes a little while for this thing to go ahead and kick in. All right. Well, what happens is the Talk Shoe security agent number 11 is never there when you need him. Folks, I mean, I think I went ahead and blocked the participation. Let me go ahead and say this, and I'm going to go ahead and start finishing this call, okay? Hey, folks, shoot, I'm having trouble with Talk Shoe. So let me go ahead and see if I can go ahead and get it here. All right, I'm going to try to go ahead and log back in. Hold on, folks. Well, folks, I went ahead and gained control of TalkShoe, and probably I'm going to go to the TalkShoe chat grabber and pretty well save it. But what you end up seeing is how these evil mamsers, these Zogbots, these pisser possums, they get in, and essentially, just like Jews, when they can't control stuff, they go ahead and tear things down as best they can. And pretty well, that's what Visser's kind is like here. They hate the white man. And essentially, just like this Masner or something like that, they go ahead and cause all this trouble. They just go ahead and cause as much trouble as they can with their bullshit. I mean, that's what these people are like. These people are evil. Now, with the Talk Shoe, I can go ahead and get rid of all this Masner stuff here. But, is that short for Mamser or something? But, hey, you can't go ahead and essentially when you detect people like that here, you go ahead and you exterminate them. You do whatever the hell you have to do. The thing about it is that what it did, he's just a little Jew brought in by Visser. But it might be a Jew who wants me to go ahead and blame Visser for doing it here. The thing about it is after the Great Tribulation, there won't be any more characters like these little guests who went ahead and did their best to tear shit up, to go ahead and disrupt white conversation or white programs. You can't go ahead and blame evil people for being evil. They just are what they are. And there is no changing them. None whatsoever. So, it looks like old Masner went ahead and screwed up TalkShoot to where I'm going to have to go ahead and log back on again. You know, but see, that's the problem with living in a world full of Uyghurs and Mamsers and the rest here. They do nothing. They do nothing but cause trouble as best they can. And the reason they do that is because they're evil. Not being able to go ahead and have their way, they do whatever the hell they want to. Why do they do that? Because they're evil. See, you can't have white people doing whatever white people need to do with Mamsers and Uyghurs and the rest here. They go ahead and prove my point is that there's just no dealing with them. All you can do with these animals, these sick, filthy animals like Visser and the rest of these Jews, is simply exterminate them wherever they can be found. There's no dealing with truly evil, vicious people. Hold on, folks. I'm going to go ahead and try to close this thing here and let the little Mamsers play at their game here. This show's been going on for about, it'll be close to 4 hours, and I think I'll end around. End with Flory and Geyer. Okay? Hold on, folks. Folks, it looks like our little Mamser is running wild. What I'm going to do is I could go ahead and end the show, but I think I'm going to go ahead and end it with Flory and Geyer. I'm pretty well let the chat do what it may. The thing about it is that, hey, you can't really let yourself, be silenced or anything like that by the spawn of Satan. And the thing about it is that, yeah, there's a number of Jews and there's a number of evil people who do essentially whatever the hell he wants to. So I'm going to go ahead and end. I'm going to go ahead and end the show with, with a little Florian Geyer. And let me go ahead and set the thing up, okay? Hold on. Hold on, folks. Okay. Why, they glad in black are we? Hi-yi-o. And we'll stamp out the tyranny. Hi-yi-o. Why, they go forward, ho. On the city roof, let the red cock grow. Why, they go civil war, ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. When Adam's men and Eve did delve, Kyrie, oh, who was then the ruling man? Kyrie, why men go civil war, ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. The ice men, ho, forward go. On the courthouse lawns, let the red blood flow. Bold white men, their rifles shoot. The Jews are laid low. On Saltling next, we stop our boots. To stamp out gospel. Why men go revolt, ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why men go civil war, ho. On the courthouse lawns, let the red blood flow. The regime must only glove the street. Hi-yi-oh-ho, the love of God our only need. Hi-yi-oh-ho, wise men ho, forward go. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. Wise men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let the red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is just. Hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-oh-ho. Why men go revolt, ho. On the city roofs, let the red cock crow. Why men go civil war, ho. On the courthouse lawns, let the red blood flow. Okay, folks, I'm going to go ahead, and at least we got a good chorus of Florian Geyer. The chat sort of disintegrated under the influence of Pisser Possums and Zogbots and Jews, but hey, such is life, okay? And I will go ahead and unlock guest number 3 at the end of the forum. Okay? Strike number 3 at the forum? Okay. That's what Poopy Dog says. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and check and see. Okay, I got to talk to you. I'm going to go ahead and terminate the show. I'm going to say good night. Hail victory. May Yahweh bless.